Steve, thank you. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the show. It's normally the Bill and Wendy show. Wendy's off all this week. Hannah Stanley filling in. Hi, Hannah. Nice to see you.
Hi. I was thinking about this today, and Bill and Hannah doesn't sound very good.
Oh.
Because of Wendy. Is the why.
Oh, you always I like see to what have you the mean. Why. At yeah. the end, yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll make it Hannah-y.
I think we should.
Let's go with Hannah-y for just a little bit.
I think Hannah-y or Hannah-y?
Whichever you prefer.
All right, we'll work that out during the break, the gap hour.
There is much to discuss with you, a lot of things on today's show. Mm-hmm. Pat McGann, one of my favorite comics. You've not met Pat before, but you know of his work.
We're Facebook friends.
Are you?
Yeah.
He's very funny.
He'll be incredibly funny.
At 10:35. Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD will join us at 11:05. Do you know
them?
Heard of them.
They are spectacular.
And then we'll talk a little bit about, now yesterday we were supposed to do this, and because of the turn of events yesterday, both locally and nationally, we had to reschedule, but a man who spent a month in a clown motel will join us to talk about that ordeal.
The list of questions has only grown.
I can't tell you how many questions they have for the man who spent a month in a clown motel. There's a real thing, a clown motel. An expert on demonstrating and rioting will join us to talk about what happened yesterday and what didn't happen yesterday in the city.
That, I think, is the more important. Well, I think the thing worth celebrating is what didn't happen.
Right.
Because right. I was hopeful that nothing really would happen, and that's a little bit where we were at. We were on the scale of nothing to something.
There's a couple questions, and Steve, you jump in anytime you want, because maybe you know the answers to these, because I do not. Question number one was...
I don't know.
Oh, you still don't know?
No.
All right, that's fair. Thank you. We were told yesterday at about this time that they had a deadline of today to release this video, and most people seem to think that it was going to happen at some point today. And then kind of almost out of nowhere, it happened late yesterday.
It was being shopped around. It had leaked somehow. So a few media outlets had been given access to it early.
Hmm.
And I think that's what prompted them just to move things up.
Then all of a sudden, everybody had it. The more important angle of this... Oh, you wanted to say something.
Well,
Hannah,
no, I when speculating, I thought maybe they were doing this because everyone was expecting a Wednesday release. And so maybe they were going, let's get ahead of this. Let's release it when they're not as organized.
Oh, I can see that. I get that.
Because it kind of diffused some of the reaction.
Right.
That was my speculation.
Here's what I wanted to discuss. I don't know what news source you used last night, but I flipped around a little bit, both last night and this morning. Some outlets locally chose to run the video. Some chose not to. Some chose to run portions of it to show Mr. McDonald walking down the street, and then it stopped just shy of the actual shooting when Officer Van Dyke shot him. Last night at 10 o'clock, I had Channel 7 on, and they showed everything. They showed it not start to finish, not the entire sequence, but... I guess the most relevant part of the sequence was shown pretty much in its entirety. This morning I was watching Channel 9's morning news. They just showed a very small portion, none of the actual shooting, just McDonald walking down the street, and it stopped there. And then they had a legal analyst explain that it was a really good thing to not show all of it, that wasn't in anyone's best interest. So what I'm curious about is, for the people who are listening, is was the source that you were watching, did they show the whole thing, and how did that sit with you? Because I got to be honest, as uncomfortable as it was, how could it not be uncomfortable to watch a guy get killed? A guy, it's a video of a man getting shot to death. That's
right.
What you're watching.
It's essentially a snuff clip.
Yeah, you could say that. It was. So it's hard to watch, hopefully. I think something's wrong if you can watch it and not be affected by it. But at the same time, I kind of more appreciated the fact that some outlets, including Channel 7, was showing it, because I think if everybody's talking about it, it's almost hard to discuss if you haven't seen it. I know that seems grisly, but I knew today that this was going to be a major story, and even though my first instinct was to go, I can't watch a guy get shot. I don't want to watch a guy die on TV. At the same point, I'm like, I almost feel a need to see this, because this is what's important right now.
I didn't. I chose not to. It was all over Facebook. We went out, my husband and I took the kids out for dinner last night, and he and I very quietly discussed the topic and what had happened, and, you know, speculated. But then when I came home and we put the kids to bed and I did work
yeah.
on my computer. I was flipping through Facebook. We look for stories, things like that. It was everywhere. I yeah. could have seen it if I wanted to, and I chose not to.
You didn't want
to
see it.
I did not want to see it.
The calls
I felt, and I apologize for saying it, but sure. I felt like if the family didn't want it released,
right.
I erred on their side.
Do you think in any way, shape, or form that the family not wanting it to be released had something to do with the fact that maybe a settlement was already made? Like, if there was no settlement made a year ago, maybe then the family would have the feeling that I think more people need to see this to be on our side, that our son was killed. Don't you think maybe that might play into it a little bit?
I don't know that being in their position, I would ever want it released, settlement or no settlement.
Yeah.
It just cannot be anything. If it's upsetting to you,
it was upsetting.
It has to be horrifying to them.
Oh, without a doubt.
And not only that, it becomes diminished in a way because...
Do you think so, Steve? Yeah.
Well, it's just now everywhere and people are, you know, watching it almost, you know, like a... Maybe like fiction, yes. Or it's just something that... You know, it just sort of lessens the gravity of it the more times you see it or spread it around or happen upon it.
Yeah.
I think there's probably something to that.
Did you watch it? Did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Definitely.
Are your feelings similar to mine that as you're watching it, you're saying to yourself, and I want to bracket it by saying, as I'm watching it, this is what's playing in my head. I've seen so many TV shows and movies where people get killed for whatever reason, sometimes on purpose, sometimes accidentally, but somewhere in your head you're going, but what I'm watching is an actor pretending to get shot or stabbed or whatever. But then when you're watching it for real, your brain almost doesn't want to accept that you're really watching a guy get shot on film.
Yeah, it was hard. And you know what struck me, you guys? I didn't expect to talk about this, but and this isn't a criticism because there were a lot of officers there, and they all didn't do the same thing, right? So there
right.
were a lot of officers there doing exactly what they should have been doing. I was surprised that... when he was shot, that no one went to his aid.
Right.
And
right.
clearly that must be procedure. I'm sure they called the paramedics and they were on their way and all of that. But from what I read, he had had a pulse and I don't know what anyone happening upon him in the street could have done to save him. But it just was interesting to me. I didn't consider what would happen
but
next.
At that point, don't you say to yourself, if you're, let's say you were standing a couple of yards away and watching this, you would say to yourself, I'm watching a barrage of gunfire, 16 shots at that point. I don't know where the gunfire stops. As much as I'd want to help that guy, you go, yeah, but there still could be bullets in that gun.
We have a text coming in from 630 talking about how this isn't really the first time we've seen anybody getting killed because we've all seen the JFK video. And
sure.
that's valid. But for a while, they were not airing those few frames.
I'm trying to remember because it's been so long ago.
Because now they just air the whole thing. You can get it everywhere.
Right, 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 right.
But I am still shocked and taken aback when I see that film.
Oh, yeah. 52 years later, it's
yeah.
still, it sure.
It's incredibly upsetting.
Let's get a call in or two. Start out with Tom on line two, if you wouldn't mind, Hannah. Is that possible? Can
Absolutely.
We get to Tom? Tom, go ahead. Were you able to see this video yesterday? Were you watching a news source that showed it or not?
Yeah, I watched Channel 7, and I will tell you right now, I'm absolutely disgusted with that station.
Are you?
The family requested that the damn thing not be shown.
Yeah.
No one respected the family's decision that it didn't have to be shown. There's nothing this thing is going to do to bring their son back and anything else. They could have proceeded with the investigation without having to be so damn graphic.
But
it's about time, maybe some common sense. We don't have to see everything on the news
right.
to know it's true.
Well, but don't you think, and I'm not coming to their defense, I'm just saying that if you're Channel 7 and you say to yourself, this is the top story in the city right now, and if we don't show it, we're leaving out an important element of what everybody's talking about. Do you subscribe to that theory or not?
No, I don't subscribe
you
know? To that theory at all. No.
Not at all.
Because look at what WGN didn't see a need to show the entire thing.
Right.
And it still got the point across. They've had enough diagrams and everything else of what's happened in this particular incident that we didn't necessarily have to see the guy being gunned down.
All right.
How much insensitivity does our society have to throw on the public before they finally get all disgusted and decide to say, this is enough, we're tired of this crap, and thus I won't be watching Channel 7 ever again.
You're going to stay away for life because of this?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Tom, thanks. I appreciate the phone call. Have a great holiday. All right, let's do this. We've got other people who want to talk about this. We're 312-981-7200. Some media outlets here locally and nationally decided to show the video of McDonald getting shot by Officer Van Dyke. Some chose not to. What did you see? What did you think was too much? We're 312-981-7200. Give us a call or a text. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's us. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley. Wendy's on vacation. She'll be back on Monday. We're talking about the video that
as will you.
Yeah, I will also be by on Monday, I promise. We're talking about the video that some media outlets decided to run last night and again this morning. Some local outlets decided not to run. I was watching Channel 7 News at 10 o'clock. They showed pretty much the entire video yesterday, but then on Channel 9 Morning News today, they just showed almost nothing, a little bit just to establish the fact that the video was there, but none of the shooting aspect.
Yeah, we're getting many, many texts agreeing with caller who said Channel 7 should not have shown it. 224 said Channel 7 didn't just show it. They showed it in a loop about 10 times. If it had only been on the internet, there's no way I would have sought it out.
You did get to see it more than once. I don't remember exactly how many times, because at that point I was flipping around to see who was and wasn't showing it on other channels. I imagine, my guess is, it was a very long and deep thinking meeting deciding on a case by case basis with all the stations here in town what exactly to do in a case like this. It's a huge story, and pertinent to the story is the video itself. And although you certainly do get the point across in describing what happened, it becomes much more dimensional when you're actually seeing a 16-year-old kid get shot, 17-year-old kid get shot.
Yeah, more people agreeing that they should not have shown it. And then 630 said, of course they have to show it. It sweeps months. And that's true. They're competing for ratings.
I wonder how much of that played into it. I was thinking yesterday, there was a lot going on as I'm watching this thing, and I was thinking to myself, the number one thing that I would be thinking if I was any of the TV stations is the backlash of this, not the immediate ratings, but we just had a caller who said, I'm done with Channel 7. I can't watch Channel 7 anymore if they're so insensitive to show a video like that. I was also thinking to myself, you have to keep in mind that even though 10 o'clock is late, there's still kids up and there's still kids near a television set. And I know the internet exists and a kid can almost see anything he or she wants to see at this point. But if you're just sitting in your living room and the TV is on and all of a sudden you're watching a kid get gunned down, that's hard to explain to a kid, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, this was a conversation that had bled over to my children at 7 and 5 years old. They knew what was going on because of the promos for the news.
Right.
So they would see that. They're with my parents during the day while I'm here with you. And so my parents have news channels on. And mm-hmm. so while they didn't see the actual video, they were going, and I heard he was killed dead. And, mm-hmm. and I said, yes. And it's incredibly unfortunate. And, you know, while I wanted to answer the questions, there were also, I was looking for escape mechanisms.
So I think it would be more comfortable just to say that this would offend some people and we shouldn't show it, and you know that.
That's what they did on Channel 7, by the way. They explained.
Channel 7
last night said the video we're about to show is extremely graphic, and I mean there's a standard thing, Steve. You've seen it 1,000 times where they say, you know, for younger or more
sure.
sensitive viewers, there was a version of that that was shown yesterday.
But I'm assuming they did show. Into the shooting in the later
Channel 7 did, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so my point is, though, it's, you know, we can, this is a very important thing that's happening. And it happens now to be localized, but it's something that we've been following around this country for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
It is a very important thing, and it is a very, very uncomfortable thing. But just because it's uncomfortable doesn't mean we should be finding reasons not to see it.
I'm on the same side as you on that. I really am. And it is hard to watch. Boy, is it hard to watch. But it's one of those things where you say to yourself, you almost need to see, because it's so important and so impactful, as hard as it is to watch, I felt the urge to see it. I mean, and I don't need to see it again. It's in my head. I saw what I saw. But I think for the story to resonate more, you almost needed to see it. But if you were somebody like you who is so... You know, it like I said, it's impossible to not be moved when you see a kid get killed on camera.
Right.
But if you're one of those people who can't watch it, then you shouldn't watch it.
I struggle when it's fake. I don't like watching this kind of thing in movies or on television. It upsets me, like I said, about watching the Kennedy assassination. 9/11 clips are next to impossible for me to get through without being incredibly emotional. This was something that I absolutely made the choice to avoid.
How about with 9/11, where at some point all the networks got together and said, we've got to stop showing the towers fall down? There was a long period of time. I mean, the day that it happened and for days after it happened, you couldn't avoid it. You if you were near a TV, you saw that footage of the towers falling. And then kind of together, somehow all the networks said, we need to stop showing this. And it was a long time before you could see it. And people falling out of buildings was another one. That day and the next day, you saw that. And then there was kind of a decision made, we can't keep showing that. We've got to stop showing it.
It's done.
It didn't for a long
time.
It's been
played. I definitely understand the reason for news to have it available.
Right.
I don't know where I would have come down in a news conversation, and I wasn't involved in one, to show it live during the news.
Yeah, tough decision. It really was.
Did they air it during the early news?
I wasn't around during the early news, okay. So I don't know.
I don't know either. The 10 o'clock you can speak to.
Yeah.
And then early this morning, Channel 9 did not air
They didn't. They did a whole long, very, very thoughtful segment on what went on with a legal analyst and what exactly the ramifications were. And you saw McDonald walking down the street and you saw the officer approaching, and that was where they cut it.
It does seem like they've been a little bit protective of the possibility of younger viewers, though, by not airing it during the morning. I don't know if ABC aired it this morning during their news at all.
I'm not sure. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Steve has the news. Thanks, everybody, for chiming in on this. We appreciate it. Steve with the news, and then Pat McGann joins us. Stick around. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Have some fun. Steve, thank you so much. It's Bill F. and normally Wendy Snyder. Wendy is off this week. She'll be back on Monday. Hannah Stanley is filling in from Flavor HD, and we'll talk to her partner from Flavor HD, Dane Neal, a little bit later on. But first, our friend Pat McGann is here for several reasons. Most notably, he's appearing at Zany's in Rosemont tonight, Friday, and Saturday. Hello, Pat.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Nice to
Hannah,
see you.
What's up? Good to be here, be back.
It's good to
say back and here at the same time.
I think you did.
As a joke, I put masking tape on your lips. I didn't think it would play on the air, but it is. Good to see you. Great to see you. Hannah was just telling me she tried desperately to get you on her show, her weekend show, but you shunned her.
You are already booked on Bill and Wendy at a different,
and you don't want to be overexposed.
I do recall, but yeah, I think I was just.
You were incredibly apologetic.
Of course I was.
Weekends are always difficult. You're banned from my show.
You're banned from Hannah's show. Take
that,
Pat.
And here we are, awkwardly running into each other.
It's IRL, which I just explained to Bill means in real life.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh, IRL? No, I never heard that before.
IRL.
I had no idea.
Because who has time to say
now you're hip
in
like
real
me.
Life? That takes forever.
I just learned NSFW about a week ago. Do you know what NSFW is?
Not
safe for work.
Right.
Because a lot of the websites I visit have something and it says NSFW and I go, is that good or bad? I don't know. Let's find out. But that means if you're going to watch this, you should not do that at work.
I love the ICYMI.
Oh, wait.
In case you missed it.
Yeah. Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. And a lot of people, they'll write an article and then they'll repost it, in case you missed it. get over yourself. Right. We didn't miss it. We just didn't click on it. In case you missed it.
That's what it is. Well, thanks.
Here it is again.
FYI.
Still awesome.
There's a website I'm on. There's an entertainment website I'm on. And they never, ever, ever mention the name of any TV shows. There will be a thread and it'll just see GOT. And I don't know what GOT is. It turns out it's Game of Thrones. But unless you know the acronyms for every single TV show, that website's ridiculous.
Right.
Because they never mention the name of any show.
They do that
Friends is just F. Let's just talk about F. All right.
They do that with all the Shondaland shows. So
yes.
How to Get Away with Murder is HT, whatever that turns out to be.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't know what that means. I have to Google everything.
Yeah, the acronyms.
Everyone's in a hurry, Pat.
Way too long.
Everyone's
it's
in a hurry.
It's the Twitter world.
It is the Twitter world.
We don't have enough characters to actually write about characters.
So true. So true. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
To you as well.
Is Thanksgiving a happy time for the McGanns or
sure.
a stressful time?
No, it's happy.
There's no stress.
You know, it's just a nice day to sit back. As Americans, we need that.
Mm-hmm.
A day to just
eat.
Lay around and eat because all these other days,
We have to
do some other stuff and then lay around and eat.
Right.
Or stand and eat. Driving and eating.
Right.
Thanksgiving, it is kind of funny when you think about it. Like if you were
day of gluttony.
Explain it to people outside of this country who already think that we're fat and lazy. It's just a day we take for ourselves to be, you know, consume 3,000 calories as opposed to our regular 2,000 to 2,500.
Right. And then if you're a fan of football, boy, what a great day because you get to watch three games back to back to back. You don't have to talk to anybody. It's just football. But if you don't like football, you're kind of a prisoner for 9 hours.
Yes. Yeah, I'll be watching. I feel like Detroit, they're always on, right?
Well, it's always the Lions and the Cowboys.
Lions, yep.
Since day one, they've always had kind of a hold on that day. But now it can be anybody because it's three football games in a row. Yay.
Bears, Packers. What a waste for.
I know.
I mean, that is kind of silly because people would watch that game on any day.
Yeah.
And then throw it on Thanksgiving. But
yeah,
Detroit, like, well, how disrespectful. Those guys are always terrible. The city's terrible.
Yeah.
And then they make them play on Thanksgiving, too. Like, we're going to take this away from you, too.
Now, have you worked, because I know you work all over the country, you've worked in Detroit, haven't you? There are parts of Detroit, even though it gets such an incredibly bad rap, there are parts of Detroit that are incredibly nice.
Incredibly nice, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Detroit, I was just in Cleveland last week. A lot of these like Rust Belt cities they're coming back. More people than ever are moving downtown. And I don't know, it's cliche to say about Detroit, but no, truthfully, they are coming back. I stayed downtown Detroit last January. I was doing a gig down there.
Yeah.
Beautiful hotel, bringing back some restaurants there. And I said, like these cities are just, they're coming alive. And
well, it's so funny, though, how some place will get a reputation, and Cleveland is another one of them. But when you go there, they've got this area called the Flats that's all bars and restaurants, and they've really made it nice. So,
I was at a club there last week. I was in Cleveland for 5 nights. It was this club, Hilarities. Yeah. It is one of the best comedy clubs in the country. They have this 4th Street. Michael Simon, he's a big, you know, he's on
Lola.
The Chew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lola, right there. That's
his
where
restaurant.
He started. So he single-handedly revitalized a whole city block. He's got like two or three restaurants there.
Yep.
And then they've done a good job where they put the stadiums and then LeBron coming back.
The Drew Carey District is thriving.
Fantastic. I love it there. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. There's plenty to enjoy.
No, but the Rock Hall definitely helped with that as well because it really brought some tourism and infused the city with some money.
I went there. That's kind of... It was cool.
You weren't happy with the
Rock
Hall? I
would love to go
see
like a show there, like a concert, you know?
Yes.
But other than that, it's kind of like... Hard Rock Cafe. It's like, oh, wow, there's Bon Jovi's jacket.
That doesn't thrill you?
But it still made it a destination.
It is. Yeah. They have some cool stuff there. The history of the music was, you know, just to see the influence of rock from the blues and gospel and just kind of seeing it evolve into rock and roll.
Pat, you should be a comedian and also a travel agent to cities that get bad raps. You should do both of those simultaneously.
I feel like that one's okay.
And I like to be a museum consultant.
Right.
Curator.
Bon Jovi's jacket's great, but I'd put more bright lights around it. Make it spruce it up a little bit. Do something nice. Pat McGann is here. He's at Zany's in Rosemont tonight, Friday night, and Saturday night. Two shows on Friday night, two shows on Saturday night. Zany's.com has all the ticket information for you. And then a new album is out. We'll talk about that with you next, I hope. Or are you embarrassed to talk about this?
No. Well, I will talk about it.
Pat will talk about his new album next. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy on WGN. Pat McGann is here. He is appearing at Zany's in Rosemont tonight, Friday night, and Saturday night. There's two shows on Friday. There's two shows on Saturday. Zany's.com has all your ticket information. And, Pat, your website is what?
PatMcGannComedy.com.
How did you come up with that name?
Well, PatMcGann.com was taken.
Somebody already
had
that.
By some furniture store in
LA. Capitalizing on your success.
Yeah. So I had to go with Pat McGann Comedy.
I think it's a great name.
.com.
I hold in my hand one of these CDs that the kids like to play.
Yeah.
One of these music CDs. Only yours is comedy.
Right. So I finally put an album together.
Isn't this great? When you have this, don't you say to yourself, this is legit now. I've got a CD. This is real.
Yeah, you could trick yourself into thinking that. Sure.
Did you create a space on the shelf and double light it? So that
you
it's
do that.
So that people walk in your house and their eyes are automatically drawn to
And I put
the...
one of my jackets in there too, like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
You did?
I put a pair of my jeans.
That's expensive, Pat.
Good.
When you were a kid, go back with me in time a little bit, and you'd have a comedy CD or maybe a comedy album or an 8-track. Who were you listening to?
I was into like Seinfeld, Gaffigan, Eddie Murphy. I mean, when his those weren't CDs, but those were like the VHS tapes.
Yeah.
I had Delirious.
Yeah.
And then when Raw came out, and you had to like hide those, you know?
Because mm-hmm. they were kind of racy.
Explicit.
Yeah.
But fantastic. You know, that was just kind of, I was into stand-up, definitely, but also big into SNL.
Oh, were you? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, those are very influential. I don't know how anybody who's enjoyed comedy over the last several years, everything you just mentioned, that's going to influence you, right?
Of course,
yeah. It would have to, yeah. I remember watching that Eddie Murphy special on HBO over and over again to the point where when my friends and I would watch it, if we needed to, we could do it word for word. Were right. you the same way?
Oh, of course, yeah. You'd be out with your friends and, you know, the ice cream truck you'd hear, and you'd go into that ice cream bit he would do. And,
yep.
Yeah, no, it was so good. It was kind of like, I remember the first time when like 48 Hours came out.
Yeah.
And it was, that was like my first introduction to Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Because I had never been up that late to see an SNL and all that. And we were up in Milwaukee, like a bunch of families went up there for Irish Fest, and we were in the hotel room, and all the kids were in one room, and the adults are in another room, and they were like, watch this.
Yeah.
And we watched 48 Hours, which was, I was probably like 7 or 8 years old.
Oh, boy.
Way inappropriate.
Yeah.
But it was like, wow, this dude is
he had
so
it
funny.
All.
Yeah.
Didn't he? He really did have
and
it all.
And then you read about it now. I think he was probably like 20 at that time. I mean, he was so young.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he's had the career he's had. He started
hard to believe.
So young, and he was that good at that age.
There's a story about him in one of the Saturday Night Live books, how at the end of a show they had 4 extra minutes and nothing to fill. They ran out of stuff. They showed all their scenes. They were out of stuff. And they said to him, do you just want to take it? And he did kind of what he did for his audition. He went up on stage on live TV across America and kind of just winged it for 4 minutes. And everybody said, we've got a star now. Yeah, that's the star of the show.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't think he gets enough credit. He's starting to now. I mean, they gave him that Mark Twain Award this year.
Yeah,
he's definitely an icon.
Have you had the opportunity to work with any of the guys that you idolized when you were a kid?
Guys that I definitely saw and really respected and loved, but I wouldn't say like someone that I like was so enamored with that I've crossed paths with. I'm trying to think.
But wouldn't that be fun to do? One of the guys that made you,
you know, I
to
worked with
comedian?
Kevin Nealon, and Kevin Nealon was a guy that, you know, watching him on SNL.
Yeah.
You know, and we worked together once. He was fantastic on stage and off stage. Yeah. He was such a good guy.
He's a lot of fun.
I'm trying to think of some other people that, you know, you're like, wow, I can't believe I'm working with this person.
It'll happen.
Yeah.
You travel in those circles now. Can I ask about Elliot? We've talked about your son Elliot in the past.
Oh, he's doing great.
He's doing all right?
Yes.
Everything's good
there? Yeah, he's doing well, and we're excited about Thanksgiving. We're coming up on a year from when he was diagnosed. It was the day after Thanksgiving last year.
I forgot.
He's doing good. Yeah, thank you for asking.
Absolutely. Hannah and I were saying we see pictures of him on Facebook all the time, sometimes wearing kind of a Superman cape, right?
Yeah, right.
Which
Super-y.
I love.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, so many people, we kind of like latched onto that logo for him.
Yeah.
Because he is like
the S
such
on
a
Superman's shield became the E.
And a few people made capes and sent them to us and dropped them off our house. So
isn't that
great.
The best part of being a kid is if you feel on any given day like wearing a cape, feel free. But as an adult, if you just walked around town wearing a cape, people go, uh-oh.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
He's just a little off.
And then his sister has to have one too because she has to.
And I automatically go to The Incredibles. Capes. No capes!
Right.
No capes!
Sometimes we put them to bed and then I put a cape on for the
lady.
Old lady.
Yeah, for Mrs. McCann. She loves the cape, I bet.
Walk in the room. And she's usually asleep, just because she's exhausted and been a long day. So then I'm just alone in my cape, which is fun. I just go downstairs and
what's that to enjoy?
Run around with your arms askew. Right.
Do your kids still fall for the trick where you can stand in a doorway with your arms outstretched and make it look like you're flying and you move up and down? My kids just this year said to me, you know, we always thought that was stupid. You can stop doing that.
Yeah,
we
do that one, and then like the reach too. You reach your hand like someone else is pulling you.
That's
you
a fun
really
one.
Scare him.
How about if you're near something that covers up like your lower half and you pretend like you're walking downstairs just by making your legs shorter?
Yeah.
Have you done that?
It's classic.
I love doing that.
I'm not good at that. I've tried it and I've videotaped it to like practice, and it's just I have to give it up.
Your level of commitment is impressive, though.
It is.
That you've broken down film. You go.
John Fox came over and helped me work with it. It was bad.
This is why I stopped doing stand-up, Pat, because my whole stand-up act was just doing those tricks that we talked about. I didn't I didn't do topical stuff. I went, you guys want to see me walking downstairs?
Yeah, all right, there were a lot on. Of props involved.
A lot of props.
Flying behind the doorway stair guy. Right.
That was my closer.
Who thinks this is funny? Raise your hand.
Nobody? I thought this would kill.
Would you do the thumb, the magic thumb?
Yeah. Look, I got a thumb. Now I don't have a thumb. Now I have a thumb. Now I don't.
Take people's noses in the front row. I got your nose.
Right.
That's good.
That was how they billed me at Zany's. Bill, got your nose left. Oh, is he there again? We got to see that guy. Pat, have a great Thanksgiving. A Merry Christmas. The new CD is called Sounds Good. Where can people buy this?
It's on iTunes. It's at Amazon and CD Baby. A few different sites.
Is CD Baby carrying this?
CD Baby. Yeah. Okay.
That's the Christmas
And I have download card. You can buy them at my show. It's so funny. Like some kids now, it's like younger people, they're like, what? I'm not CD. Buying a CD. Why would I do that? So now you can also get download cards, and you can, you know, I sell those, and then people you give
Pat,
you a code, you go on a website,
dead weight,
just
CDs.
Download it.
You're
boom.
Downloadable. Everything's
it's
going
easy
good
to travel
for you.
With.
Go see Pat McGann, one of our city's finest, one of our nation's finest comics. He's appearing at Zany's tonight in Rosemont, and then Friday night and Saturday night. Also go to Zany's.com or visit Pat's own website. That's Pat McGann with two N's, PatMcGannComedy.com. Happy holidays to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys.
Thanks
everyone
so much.
Listening. Enjoy.
Enjoy is right. We'll take a quick break and then more show coming your way next. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy on WGN. Steve, thank you so much. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder. Now, here's something, and I know this is a little bit inside, but I'm going to say it anyway. On Monday, we were told by management we've got a couple of trees from the good people over at Tree Time. Beautiful trees, black and red with white mini lights, an artificial desktop holiday tree. It's all courtesy of Tree Time. I already told you that. 200 beautiful, realistic, artificial Christmas trees over there at Tree Time. You can visit them online, of course, treetime.com. You can see their store, their beautiful Winterland store on Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. We had a couple of these trees, and what did management say to us, Hannah? Do you remember their words?
You'll never work in this town again.
Do not give these away, or we'll make it so you guys never see the radio again. It won't
Ever.
Happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, all right.
We'll drop the mic on you.
Yep. Yeah, that's what was said. And then we ended up giving out a tree on Monday. We were yelled at. We were scorned.
Flogged. Yes.
Don't do this again, they said. We won't, we promised. We gave another one away yesterday. Mm-hmm. We have one left. I'm going to leave this up to you. I don't want to get in trouble.
Don't no, do I it.
Do you say not to do it, Dave?
Well, I mean, just the danger level, it's palpable in here.
Yep.
Well, you're off the next 2 days, so what do you care?
I got nothing. And Dane put the Dane in danger, so he knows what he's doing.
No fear here.
Let's say this. Let's say if we keep this quiet and don't tell our
just
bosses.
Just between us. Nobody's here.
Nobody's here.
They're all off for the holiday
they're
already.
They're all off for the holiday.
I walked around upstairs. Nobody was around.
They're not here. Actually, they are here.
They are.
They're upstairs.
Say something distracting.
Right. And quickly, bring out your keys. Shake your keys. Just move your keys up and down.
I don't have my keys with me.
312-981-7200. We've been told not to do this. Do not give away the Tree Time tree. We're throwing caution to the wind. If you're caller number 8 right now, 312-981-7200, you will take away one of these black and red beautiful holiday trees courtesy of Tree Time right there in Lake Barrington. Be caller number 8 right this second, 312-981-7200. All right, Dane Neal is here, the other half of Flavor HD. Hannah's already been here, but now Dane is here. The circle is complete. Hello, Dane. How are you?
I can feel it. The orb is glowing.
We always have the circle of trust.
Yes.
That's always great.
We're up in the tree right now, up in the trust tree, which is a Tree Time trust tree, by the way, for the
beautiful.
Five folks.
Yep.
That's what they do during the off season.
Right.
Trust trees.
Right. One of the things we want to discuss with you is the obvious. Tomorrow is one of the big food days of the year.
Food Super Bowl.
Start to finish.
Yes.
It's food. It's nothing but food. Food, glorious food. There are some people, and I'm one of them, who doesn't like the traditional holiday fare. I'm not a fan of turkey. I don't like any of the side. It's just not for me.
It takes a village, Bill. And there are certain villages that there's a certain percentage of the demographics filled with bills. You know, and it isn't for everybody, right? That's what makes America great.
The turkey lobby has gotten to Bill.
Right.
Is that I cannot be bought.
Right. Don't even try.
Now the Pez lobby. Come on in, guys. You guys seem cool.
Right. Right.
Well, for those people that are thinking of other things, maybe for whatever reason, maybe there's a traumatic experience with a flock of turkeys as a child. Maybe you were raised by turkeys and it didn't go well.
Right.
Right? Maybe you just don't like the flavor of it. Maybe you're allergic to it. Maybe you're not into the family situation. Whatever the thing.
But be honest with me before you say anything else. there are way, way, way better foods that are easier to prepare and digest more easily and don't make you tired and have flavor. There are way better foods, right?
There are for, if that is what your palate decides, then yeah, there's absolutely other
two words
options.
For it. Let's make it three. Two words, side dish and gravy. Right. And see, the gravy contains flavor, right?
I guess.
Well, I don't know. You know, Big Turkey, they work in mysterious
depends
ways.
Depends on
doing
whose
it.
Gravy it is.
That's true. That's true. Right, right. Like, who would be the one? The Chef Boyardee folks, they make a
Aunt Helen's gravy. It's lumpy with a side of bland.
She's working on it. She has so much street cred just in the intimidation and guilt areas that we tough through it. Well, you know... I guess I'm not going to be one of I'm not going to join. I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon and
fine.
Say that turkey is bad because it's good because, you know, it is. It's, you know, it has so much hype. Right. And there's so much more about Thanksgiving that has almost nothing to do or can have almost nothing to do with the turkey. You've got
sure.
the side dishes. You've got the, you know, the green bean, you know, onion casserole.
Blah.
You've got scalloped potatoes. Come on. These are the superstars. This is this is the Justice League of flavors on on Thanksgiving.
Do not sully the good name of Hawkman. It won't work. Please, don't even try.
Thanksgiving boy. Yeah, drumstick boy. See, but there are other things to do, and here's some of the things that people can do. You know, you can find an alternative eating experience, like Chinese restaurants.
Like
a
restaurant. That's where Bill's
or a restaurant.
What we've been doing.
Or a restaurant. They're happy to have you, right?
Yeah.
And it's got all of the things that you know and hate about Thanksgiving aren't associated with the restaurant situation. You've got people that you can, you don't have to be, you're not obligated to be overly nice to, especially if they don't deserve it. The servers, if they are, be nice, sure.
Right.
And they clean up the mess and they bring you food you want, right? That you've decided based on
it's
your
a miracle.
Menu choice that tastes good.
I was telling Hannah the name of the Italian place that's kind of...
Volare.
Last year for Thanksgiving, Terry and the girls and I went to Volare, just the four of us, and we had a fantastic time. The restaurant was filled to the rafters, everybody in great spirits. Nobody, zero people ordering turkey. They had it on the menu. I saw it. Nobody ordered it.
Do you think they even order it? They're like, yeah, put it on there just in case. Maybe
right.
they got some canned stuff in the bag.
Just in case somebody wants it. But it was so nice. And everybody had that look like.
Were you high-fiving?
We figured this out.
It was much like me with my $1.82 gas jig. I did Lowry's years and years ago. They do have turkey on the cart that they bring around to the table. Everybody went prime rib. You have to. It's Lowry's.
If you look closely, the turkey, and they do that cart. It's very famous. But the actual turkey is rubber. It's like plastic.
Oh,
it's a spinning turkey.
Yeah,
it's the famous spinning turkey from Lowry's.
They get it from where Svengoolie gets his chickens. It's the same brand of rubber.
This is like the before and the after. Here's what you don't want and here's what you do, right?
Yes.
So some of the things that people are doing are, you know, maybe going to the movies. People are doing that, maybe staying out. It's a traditional drinking holiday Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really, you know, done as much of that as maybe I would have in the past.
Sure,
right?
Of course.
But maybe just stay that way and just kind of sleep through the day. Some people that maybe have a conscience are out there donating their time to soup kitchens, you know, kind of doing, they don't have to eat the food and then maybe an excuse to get away from relatives if that's something that you
maybe.
Don't necessarily want to do.
We go bowling.
Or bowling.
Yeah,
bowling.
It makes some phone calls.
Sorry,
figure
Grandma
out who's
can't be
open.
Over it. I got to
But even there, if you get three
in
a row, that's called a turkey, so you can't escape it. It's impossible.
No, but most of the places around us open around like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. And
Do
people
they?
Are done and they're finished and they just go on.
And life goes on.
Let's go bowling.
That's how it should be. Hannah and Dana here from Flavor HD. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. Oh, by the way, congratulations. We have a winner. Who was it, Kevin? Can you tell me who it was? I don't know.
Her name was Marie, and she is from LaGrange Park.
Marie from LaGrange Park has taken away one of our finest trees. This is from Tree Time. It's the black and red holiday tree, the desktop tree. Congratulations. We'll be back with more Flavor HD Talk next. It's Bill F., along with Hannah Stanley, in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Uh-oh, there should be music. Why isn't there music? Kevin, give us some music.
I accidentally closed my browser.
There's no more music?
He thought, because he heard us singing, Sarah, that we were just going to do it a cappella.
No, we don't have time for that.
No.
He's like, I was accidentally doing something else.
Food, glorious food.
That's fine. All right, we have music. Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD are here.
So weird to have two Hannahs.
I know, isn't it? It really is. The space shuttle is celebrating Thanksgiving.
Well, why wouldn't they?
They have to. What do we need to know about this?
Well, I thought of it more as a way, like, this isn't whether it's bowling, whether it's skeet shooting, whatever it is that you're going to do to avoid a Thanksgiving situation with maybe family members that you're not as fond of, maybe like, hey, I got to be in space.
Right.
Just check the calendar. I'll be in space. But they are enjoying. So it's not like they're, you know, missing out entirely. And of course, care packages aren't always the easiest up there. So they've got a radiated smoked turkey that they
do. They really? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got it. And they're eating it along with everything in clear pouches. And so they're I detected a little bit of, I think they were lying maybe because maybe their family members like helped with the recipe. I'm not sure, but he said it was good.
Oh, all right. Well, that's something.
So was this went up with them, obviously. They're not like shipping off little rockets.
They were complaining,
food.
Right, that it took all day to make and then to put it in the
pouch.
No one
appreciates
and irradiate it. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they sent them up with some.
How long
kind
have
of,
they been up?
I don't know, but they're up there now. I guess that's too busy. I would try to get back, right? It would be like, hey, I got to get back.
I think we're done here. Let's just go. Let's find reentry.
Now, you mentioned not being a fan of turkey.
Right.
You know, and there's other people in your corner, different kind of people and different, certainly, techniques in order to kind of go against the turkey wave. But the people at PETA, you know, our good friends at PETA that are oftentimes out there, you know, trying to, they're protecting animals in ways that are sometimes good and constructive and sometimes.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, not PETA, PITA, that is delicious with, you know, anything like falafel.
Oh, the bread, or, yeah.
Oh, so, you know, so it's like a Chick-fil-A thing where they're just trying to get people to eat PETA.
Right.
Nope. This isn't that. So they wanted to get into kind of the advertising thing. And normally they'll show pictures of animals abused and they do some kind of media activism that they do. But they actually created a commercial and they wanted it for NBC. They wanted to put it on during the Macy's parade, during the Macy's Thanksgiving Day parade. And what it was, it's, and you can find it online, it's called Grace. And so instead of pictures of tortured animals, which is kind of their normal game plan, it's a picture. It's actually a video of a family sitting around like the Thanksgiving table. And then a little girl, maybe, I don't know, 5, 6, is given the opportunity to say grace. And so she says grace. And she's like, thank you for our family and thank you for this turkey. And then she goes into, and there's no graphic images. Thank you for this turkey that was stuffed into a small pen that, you know, has had his feathers burned off while he was alive.
Oh, that, wow. That seems very.
Yeah. That had his head stepped on, you know, that is covered in chemicals and poop. Thank you so much.
Wow.
For
what
that.
A progressive thinking little child.
I don't. Well, so that's what they did. And then so everyone at the table's like, ugh, you know, and so NBC, they rejected it. They didn't figure that kind of met with, you know, the kind
the
of
standards
thing that they were looking to. I don't know about standards, but yeah, the feel, right? The Thanksgiving feel for the parade. So.
Right.
So that was one of the things.
So we will not be seeing it on there, but I'm sure it's online
if
people want to see it.
You can see it online where they're trying to get that message out, but still building it into what appears visually like a regular.
Is it well done? You've seen it, right?
I have seen it. It well done in a way. I mean, there's no special effects. It's a table with people around it and a little kid saying things that are
disturbing.
That are kind of like, yeah, not
true, though. Disturbing and true at the same time.
Right, both disturbing and true. So here is the other option that is part of the, so a little bit part of the present and then also part of the future. So you mentioned, and we've heard it, everybody's been talking about maybe not agreeing with the food choices for Thanksgiving that you're usually having. So millions of people are fine, some are not.
Yeah.
But then also maybe sometime the company, maybe there's like a crazy Uncle Brad, right? Who's just, you know, either he's opinionated or he's drunk or whatever. Is there is a way through virtual reality and these like headsets, a company called Oculus, and we'll talk about it, Hannah and I'll talk about some of the ways people are getting these on Friday, but they're making a headset. It's $99 and it hooks right up to your Android phone. I'm sure they've got other systems too, but what it'll allow you to do is be in other places. Now you can use it for all the normal fun things too, watching Netflix and playing video games, but also virtual reality. So you can attend a Bears game and see the view from a certain seat. You can virtual tour different places.
But since you mentioned Thanksgiving Day, how is it possible? Let's say I'm in another city. I'm in Seattle, but I want to be with my family on Thanksgiving. Do they have to set up a camera there at the table? What do they do to make it
happen? Obviously it wouldn't be tasty. Yeah, Skype and FaceTime have gotten so much better. FaceTime specifically has gotten so good, like just with the quality. As it gets better and as more people have access to the technology as long as it's affordable. I mean, we all remember like Alexander Graham Bell, right? Where Watson or what, but then it's just, I can only talk to Watson. It only gets so good until everybody has a phone. And so now with smartphones, people have that. As long as the technology becomes affordable, what they would do is they'll have a camera and they can create the environment, right? And then you would upload, you know, yourself, whatever kind of visual. And they're still working on a little bit of that. But you can experience, you know, the whole kind of 3D situation. So you're in the room, you can converse, you can talk, you can hear, but you don't. Let's say Uncle Brad is, you know, opinionated and maybe drunk, and so you don't have to step over him. Yeah, you could just maybe
turn, bad connection.
Or when he falls asleep in front of the just like turn off his feed. And then also too, Bill, you can be enjoying your Chinese food.
Oh, excellent.
For while other people are enjoying things that maybe they like better than
I call that Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Well, I mean, as long as people are doing it, let's say one person's in California, one person, as long as you're not like in Naperville and Wheaton,
then it's
and
crazy.
Then it's like, hey, let's just phone it up this year.
Right. I like it. And this is already available. This technology is already happening.
The technology is all, it's like $99. But as far as like the creating the virtual Thanksgiving, those are ways that I think we're going to see it in the future. So it's entertainment based, but also just that communication, building in FaceTime with some of the newer technology.
And that's Oculus is the name of the company.
That's one of the companies, yeah.
All right. If you like Hannah and Dane's work, and why wouldn't you, you can listen to them both tomorrow and Friday. They'll be on from 10 a.m. till noon, filling in for Wendy and myself. So listen to them. Good luck the rest of the week.
Good luck to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy.
We'll take a quick break. And
I'm
going
to step out and then come right back
in. All right, come on back in. Right after this, it's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy on WGN.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're
It's Bill F. along with Hannah Stanley, who is sitting in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday, as will I. You will be here with Dane Neal both tomorrow and Friday for a couple hours, 10 to noon.
Yeah, I just want to take a second. That Flavor HD segment, those people are delightful.
Yeah, both of them. Very nice people. The reason for that song, that People Are Strange song, and this is a story that saddens me to report, but there's problems at this year's Mr. Ugly contest.
It's a pageant.
Yeah, they're having a big pageant, the Mr. Ugly pageant, and this year it's fraught with controversy.
I think the difference in the Mr. Ugly pageant is that it's for scholarship money, really. It's not. It's right. Just a competition.
Right, right. Yeah. I'll tell you the story. Prepare to be sad, because I already am. Pageant judges have crowned a new winner of Zimbabwe's fourth annual Mr. Ugly contest, upsetting supporters of the crowd favorite, who called the winner too handsome for the event.
My favorite quote in this is the man that is upset says, "I am naturally ugly. He is not. He is ugly only when he opens his mouth."
Right.
So does he say ugly things?
Well, I guess so. I
does
couldn't
he
get
just
tickets.
Make people really dislike him and yes. That makes them view him as ugly?
Yes. Yes. Judges on Saturday chose 42-year-old Myson Siri, citing his numerous missing front teeth and a wide range of grotesque facial expressions. They chose him over William Masvino, who had held the title since 2012, a two-time winner of the Zimbabwe's Mr. Ugly contest. Masvino and his supporters mobbed the judges upon hearing the decision, claiming again that Siri was, and we quote here, too handsome to win. As you pointed out, Hannah, his ugliness wasn't natural. It was based on missing teeth. I am naturally ugly, and he is not.
No, you're not.
He is. No, I'm reading from the story.
Oh, okay.
He is ugly because he only when he opens his mouth. You said that part. Do we have to lose our teeth to win, he asked. This is cheating. Why can't the Mr. Ugly contest be more sedate? Why can't they just get along? The swimsuit competition was not pretty either, by the way.
It wasn't supposed to be.
No, it wasn't. This is cheating, shouted the man who came in second place. Another contestant, Patrick Muparecki, also very upset. While no one was injured, and we thank God for that, because that's the last thing you want to end a Mr. Ugly contest.
You'd
rather see injuries?
I'm thinking that if someone had been injured and therefore disfigured, that would have given him an advantage in the fight. I don't want anybody hurt.
Here's the judges. Wait, hold on.
Give me a minute.
We have to recalculate.
That scar is going
to
be magnificent.
We have to retally the votes. While no one was injured, it says, there was a great deal of pushing and shoving as the results were announced and insults were hurled at the judges. Now, beauty pageants are popular in this South African country, it says here, and even though they are typically for women, scandal is not unusual. Earlier this year, Miss Zimbabwe winner Emily Kachote faced a backlash from social media while Zimbabweans called her ugly and undeserving of the crown. I don't think you could get into the finals of a Miss Anything contest if you're ugly.
Maybe you have to
be pretty at a beauty pageant. It's called beauty pageant.
I think, again, this is personality coming through.
Is that what it is?
That's my guess.
She, this is the winner of the Miss Zimbabwe contest, Emily Kachote. She was later forced to step down when just 2 weeks into her reign, R-E-I-G-N, images surfaced of her posing nude, which incidentally also brought down her predecessor. So 2 years in a row that Miss Zimbabwe has lost her crown.
I feel like that might be right. something we want to investigate. Right. If there's 2 years in a row, the front runner has been caught posing, not in nude pictures, posing
of any way, in any way. Now, are you of the mindset, because I kind of am, that beauty contests have run their purposeness, that they're really at this point gratuitous? There was a time where when the Miss America pageant was on,
it
or the
was
Miss
everything.
It was a big deal.
People watched it.
Right. Bert Parks sang
Here
a song
she comes,
at the end.
Miss America.
But now it just seems, because women for the most part have become equal as they should be, that at this point you would say to yourself, come on, do we need to celebrate this? We know that women are beautiful. Why this? Why do we have to do this?
I think there
seems demeaning.
Here's what I like about them. I like the pageantry of them. I like the historical significance of them. I think what they've done with the song and dance numbers is a bit silly.
Yeah.
And has made it incredibly dated.
Right.
I think that the asking them world global questions as if they're going to have an actual
seems a little unfair.
Place
almost
at the table of these conversations is kind of silly.
What about the swimsuit competition? Why? Because now the way that they've headed both Miss USA and Miss America is to say, let's prove, like you, with the segment you just said, let's prove that they're more than just beautiful, that they're also worldly. They know what's going on the planet, and then they make them parade out in bathing suits. That seems wrong.
It doesn't bother me as much, because we're going to see strong women athletes in swimsuits. We see, you know, the volleyball players, et cetera. I think it's great that they can demonstrate that they can be incredibly attractive and athletic and strong, and not necessarily over-sexualized. I don't think those swimsuits are scandalous in any manner.
No,
I think
not.
It's one of the tamer things you're going to see on television is the swimsuit competition. But for having a place in our society, it's really an afterthought right now.
So
to answer your question, they don't bother me, but I don't really care.
Would you encourage your daughter, if your daughter was on the fence, I know she's young now, but let's say when she's older, she says, hey, I've got a chance to be in beauty pageants. Would you encourage that or discourage that?
If it was something she really wanted to do,
then
I would let her try it. But I wouldn't. I'm definitely not one of those pageant moms who's like, we should spend thousands on dresses. Let's go and get your nails done. No, I think celebrating and owning who you are as a person and your body being part of that, that's fine.
You don't look at it as that objectifying, though.
No.
You look at it as celebrating.
I do, because I think those girls work, and I'm not necessarily, having not watched them for several years, when I have seen clips of them, I've been impressed with the fact that it's a very sensible suit, even the two-piece suits.
It's
definitely not too revealing. I've seen far worse walking down the street.
Right.
So if it is something where, you know, they're an athletic girl and they're really okay with, I love that. I think that's great.
And it reminds us that when wearing a swimsuit, it's always best to wear them with heels.
With heels and with a lot of tape so there's no slippage.
Right. It's better. Don't you imagine, I've never been to a beauty pageant, but I imagine that the entire hall smells like Alberto VO5. When I'm watching it at home,
oil treatment.
I spray Alberto VO5 in the air just to get the full 3D effect of being there.
Vaseline. They put Vaseline on their teeth.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of Vaseline.
Yeah, they keep the lipstick off. I really don't. I would not encourage, but I would definitely not discourage, because I don't think there's anything wrong with the interest in it.
Yeah, I guess.
I think that it can get to it can get to a crazy place.
Does Trump's involvement in it make it seem more or less legit to you?
Neither.
For some reason, his name on it, I don't know what it is.
He's doing Miss Universe. He's not doing Miss America, right? Are they different?
I think they're connected somehow.
I would look, but I can't. My computer's
down.
Yeah.
I want to say they're connected somehow, that if you win the Miss USA pageant, you are then in Miss Universe, which is really wrong because they don't invite any other planet to participate in it.
Yeah,
you should have women from all over the galaxy in the Miss Universe pageant.
Here's where I actually had a stance on this a few weeks ago. I believe it was Miss America, and I'm not entirely sure. And again, I don't have a computer, so texters can't tell me what it was.
All right.
But a nurse came out in her scrubs as her talent.
Oh, right. I remember that.
I loved that.
Yeah.
I thought that needed to be celebrated on multiple levels. Mm-hmm. And I hated that the women of The View ripped on her.
They did.
Because that's not a quote-unquote talent. And I'm like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
Because the amount of effort that goes into education and the sacrifice that goes into a nursing education or choosing that as your career, by God, that's a talent.
Yeah.
And the commitment really is equal.
But were they arguing, was their argument, though, that that wasn't a talent, or were they saying that that wasn't, it wasn't glamorous? Wasn't that kind of their stance on it?
No, I think it was more that it wasn't a talent. Like, are you kidding me? You can't play the piano? Like, and I was like, no, good for her for dedicating herself and really elevating that as something she was proud of to demonstrate.
Yeah.
I thought that was wonderful. I'd love to see more of that coming forward in pageants.
All right. All right. A quick break and then more talk ahead. We're at 312-981-7200. If you want to jump in, that's the phone line and the text line. It's me, Bill Leff, and it's her, Hannah Stanley, in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Just a couple of quick stories, a story or two before we take our break and Steve Bertrand comes in to do the Wintrust business lunch. Were you a fan of soap operas at all?
All My Children.
Me too.
David Canary.
How about this? David Canary, for people who don't know, played not one but two characters on All My Children for many, many years. He was both Adam Chandler.
And Stuart Chandler.
And Stuart Chandler, his twin brother. Mm-hmm. Adam, the evil, evil patriarch of the Chandler clan.
And husband to Erica Kane.
Crazy money.
At least once.
To Donna, to Erica, to Brooke. Yeah. I'm trying to remember who else he married. He got married quite often.
Frequently.
And then I remember his brother, Stuart, was married to a girl named Cindy for a while who passed away of AIDS on the show.
Yes.
Remember that many years
ago? I do very much, yeah.
I watched All My Children nearly every day forever.
It's clear.
And he was on for, was he on for 27 years, I think I read yesterday?
Quite a bit. And the other thing I didn't know about him is that he was drafted by the Denver Broncos.
Was he?
And,
no, I didn't know
and
that.
Turned it down to pursue acting.
I know he was on, he played the role of Candy, the cowboy in Bonanza.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that the name Candy probably wouldn't serve you well in the Old West.
No, but
he made it work.
He did. He
somehow.
Owned it.
He was also on Peyton Place, I found out earlier today. He was Mia Farrow's physical therapist on several episodes of Peyton Place 1,000 years ago.
I did not know that.
Very good looking guy. Walt Willey, who played Jackson Montgomery on the show, was coming to town for quite a while, about once or twice a year, because he also did stand up in addition to being an actor.
And he grew up in Ottawa, I believe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He did. So he used to tell me what a wonderful, giving man David Canary was. That even though he played something of a tyrant on the show, he was just the opposite, that he was the most giving actor on the soap, and always a pleasure to work with him. So it was very sad. I saw that news. And he was 77 years old. He had prematurely gray hair, so even 25 or 30 years ago, he looked like an older guy when he wasn't.
Right.
But I miss him.
Well, Willie posted a nice tribute on Facebook last night.
Did he? What
about
did it say?
Him, that he will be missed and sleep well, my friend, essentially.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
It's so sad. I mean, the golden age of soaps for me was like when I was in college and just a little bit beyond. And many of those actors now, like the lady who played Phoebe Wallingford on the show is gone. The guy who played Langley on the show is gone.
The show is gone.
The show is gone. The show itself is no longer there. Yes. Very, very sadly. But it's... To me, and I didn't watch a lot of soap operas. I only watched All My Children for a little while, Ryan's Hope. Those days are gone. Like, reality television has just erased all those shows.
Yes.
There's a couple still standing, but not too many.
No, but the cast and crew that was necessary to churn out scripts every single day.
Constantly.
Makes it so... I mean, that was a five-day-a-week thing.
I know. It was grueling.
That was a bit, you had to have the multiple sets and costume changes. And it really was taxing financially for a network.
And they all took place in a hospital. Did you notice this?
A hospital. Yes. Yeah. Including General Hospital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think every one of them somehow centered around.
Dr. Martin worked at the hospital.
Yes, he was Dr. Joe Martin.
Yes. Tad Martin's father.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So you watched the two just every once in a while, did
Jenny.
You?
Yeah. I still miss Jenny.
What a terrible thing that Tony did when he blew up her jet ski. Still angry. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll
Greg
find out
was
what.
Never the same.
We'll find out what is coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch in just a little bit. Stick around. It's us, Bill and Hannah, on WGN. Kim, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley, who's in for Wendy. And we will be here for the next 2 hours, and then Wendy returns along with me. on Monday. You're singing and dancing, aren't you?
And listening.
And listening all at the same time.
I'm that engaged.
I wanted to start out by talking about this. Every year, Time Magazine selects what they say is the person of the year, and it's pretty prestigious. You know, it doesn't come close to... Is it People or Entertainment Weekly who does the hottest man and the hottest woman
That's
of the
people.
Year? Is that People who
Sexiest
does that?
Sexiest man alive.
Sexiest man alive.
Yes, and woman, I suppose they do. I don't care.
It's not as prestigious as being the sexiest man or woman alive, being the Time Magazine person of the year, but it's not a bad thing.
Although, side note, why does it change every year?
Well, I think
David Beckham could have been
the sexiest man alive
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I mean, if they're the sexiest man alive, would they be in contention the next year too?
You would think, but you have to divvy it up equally between your George Clooney's and your Matthew McConaughey's and your Matt Damon's and your David Beckham's. You can't just and now I guess probably one of the Hemsworths would be in there probably too, right?
I think Chris won last year.
Yeah, he was last year's winner. Mm-hmm. That sounds right. Mm-hmm. Is he the one who's Thor?
Sure.
Or is he feeling better?
I have no idea.
I'll make sure.
Put some Bengay in that.
All of a sudden, he's feeling fine again.
Yes.
So Time Magazine always selects the person of the year. And their criteria for it, I think I have it in print somewhere for who the person of the year is. It's the most influential person mm-hmm. throughout whatever given year. Now, in the past, they have been criticized because sometimes they'll take people, for instance, one year, Adolf Hitler was the person of the year, and people there was an uproar because they were certainly not glorifying Adolf Hitler, but they were saying the editorial staff over at Time Magazine was saying, we're not thrilled with this, but he was the most influential person of the year, and that got him the person of the year. It's when you hear that phrase, Time Magazine person of the year, it sounds like
an honor.
It seems
somebody that they're praising, putting up
right,
on a dais.
Right. But they're not. They're just saying that this person, man or woman. And in the past, sometimes it's not even been a man or a woman. I think wasn't the man of the year one time just like technology or computers or something, wasn't
that
it?
That sounds right.
Yeah. All right. So now you get to vote for this. It's not just the editorial staff, but the general public can also vote for
I don't know that I like that.
Person of the year. You don't think so?
No.
That's a bad idea?
This is not the Major League Baseball.
It's not like the All-Star game?
All-Star game.
True.
And at least then you get fans voting.
Right.
People who pay attention to the game.
Yeah.
Little kids who were dragged by their parents who just want to punch out those little cards.
Right. I don't even know if they do that anymore.
I think
it's all online now.
I think so too.
All right. So who should be, with the year coming to a close and just about 10 days left in the voting for the person of the year, who do you think it should be? Give us a call at 312-981-7200. Who has been the man or woman... Or I guess we also have to say concept, because like I said, sometimes it's not an actual human being who wins Person of the Year. Who would it be for 2015? Who should get this honor this year? Do you have an opinion? Who should it be, Hannah?
I looked at the list, and I definitely have an opinion of two well over everybody else.
All right.
But do you want me to say them, or do
yeah,
we want to?
Yeah, you can say them.
I think between Malala, who won the Nobel Peace Prize.
This girl's amazing.
And didn't leave class.
Yeah.
She was like, please, I'm busy with my studies. I'll get back to the Peace Prize will still be there.
Yeah.
She's incredible.
Yeah.
And I think
author of the book about her life and her story. If you don't know Malala's story, it's as harrowing an adventure as you could ever imagine. And it's awful. And she's come against a lot of hard times to be an extremely bright, intelligent.
Yeah. She was, they tried to kill her. And
yep.
and she's risen above that and is so focused on her studies and being a spokesperson for the hardships that women in education, like seeking education, I think she's magnificent.
Yeah.
And just such a great example of a peace-seeking person, not mm-hmm. just a child. She's mm-hmm. a young girl, younger. And then the Pope. The Pope really has been incredibly influential in making statements that some feel are well beyond his scope of what he should be talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a scientist. He's a chemist, I
right.
believe. So I think that he really has sort of gone beyond... you know, the normal Pope role and sort of brought a lot of people not only back to the church, but back to believing in a person who can give some guidance.
I said this when he was in the United States a couple of months ago. I'm not religious at all. And this is a guy that I would love to meet. I would so
not even meet him.
Just see it. There's something about seeing him. People talked about, you know, like when he was in New York, just the mere fact that he was so close and just the aura around him. I wanted to experience that.
Somebody that you and I used to work with now is on the air in New York. His wife camped out like 8 hours, hung out in Central Park to kind of position to be close. And then it was really funny. She posted the cell phone video of him going by in the Pope Mobile.
Yeah.
And all you could really see were other cell phones because they were everybody was doing that. But I was excited watching her video, Jean's video, of just that long of the Pope going by. I was like, she met him, sort of. Because I really think that he has an energy about him that's really engaging.
I have to be honest, the names that come to me immediately, and are there texts? Should we take some texts? Are there some?
There are texts.
Most of the ones that come to me immediately, sadly, are U.S.-based. I guess I have to think more globally. Like the ones you just mentioned are a lot more global than just in the U.S. Because I think if you're going U.S., even though I'm not a fan of this guy, Donald Trump has been on everybody's mind and has been the center of 1,000 conversations this year. And I don't know that I'm not positive that the right terminology is to say he's been the most influential person of 2015.
And you could almost say that, because what he's doing is he's influencing conversations. He's forcing people to either agree or disagree with him because he's polarizing.
Right. And in all honesty, with the first few Republican debates already come and gone, I don't think the interest this early on in the Republican debates would have been anywhere near what it's been if he wasn't a participant. So I'm not... Again, there, a lot bigger things have happened in the world in 2015, but the first name that came to mind to me was Donald Trump. And again, I'm not a huge fan of his. I just think it's kind of been, if not his year, it's been his last 6 months. He's been, no matter if you go to a dinner party or something, that's all that people are talking about. If you run into somebody that you
haven't
seen in a while.
We've been talking about this at the hair salon, and this is not a political forum typically.
I know.
Someone said, they texted in from 815 that the Pope was last year's man of the year, or person of the year, I guess would be the appropriate phrasing.
Was he
I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
All right. I guess there's a way to look it up, I guess.
I suppose we
if
could
If only
do that.
There was some sort of a computer like box that we could type words into and find things like this out. I don't know if that'll ever happen in our lifetime. All right. In a little bit. And if you have any ideas on who should be Time Magazine's person of the year, give us a call or a text, 312-981-7200, and we'll take those. And then I'm going to tell you who is currently leading the poll, and I'll be honest, I'm a little bit surprised.
More than a little.
I'm looking at who the runners-up are, and none of those surprise me, but the person who is currently in the lead does surprise me. So I'll tell you who that is. That's coming up. But you give us your votes at 312-981-7200. 2015 is coming to a close in just over a month. Who should be the Time Magazine Person of the Year? It's Bill Effel and Hannah Stanley sitting in for Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Us.
You were going to say Splash, weren't you?
Well, I did, because Slash and Sports came out at the same time.
Yep.
I wasn't trying to rush through. I just got excited.
That happens. It's Bill Leff and it's Hannah Stanley. Hannah's sitting in for Wendy. Wendy will be back on Monday, but Hannah will return tomorrow along with Dane Neal, both tomorrow and Friday. You guys will be on from 10 to noon.
Yes.
All right.
And
we'll
then Rob Hart, noon to 3.
Rob Hart, noon to 3.
And here's what's even more exciting for me, although Rob is a delight. Mm-hmm. Stephen Johnny filling in for Steve Cochran. I just think they're...
For the next few mornings.
I think the world of them.
Yes. True. All true.
Yeah.
Time Magazine is about to name their Person of the Year for 2015. In the early days of Time Magazine, and they've been doing this since the 1920s.
Yes.
They've been selecting a Person of the Year.
Lindbergh was the first.
Charles Lindbergh was the first.
Because I looked it up.
Oh. I didn't... I thought, wow, that's an amazing thing to know from way back in 1927. Yeah. So now we have a hand in the voting. There was, in the early days of Time Magazine, it was their editorial staff who chose it, but now they let the people help decide.
But is it a weighted vote where the editorial staff can...
I don't know the answer to that.
All right, I feel like it should be.
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you who's leading.
In case we get a whole bunch of kids who are like, SpongeBob, and that's not good.
Right.
That's not right.
Because clearly 2013 was SpongeBob's year. To give it to him 2 years after would be sinful.
It's not good.
It would be wrong.
Here is the list. 2014, Ebola Fighters. That seems right.
Last year was Ebola Fighters. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, again, keep in mind, and I said this earlier, sometimes the person of the year isn't a specific person.
We're going to come across
a couple examples. It's a concept or a group of people.
Right. 2013 was Pope Francis, so technically 2 years ago. Barack Obama, the president of the United States. 2012, 2011 was the protester.
Oh, right.
Okay, and that's Tea Party movement, Occupy movement, that was all happening.
Yeah,
Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook fame, and that might have been when they went public in 2010.
Could be
2009. Bernanke,
Benjamin Bernanke.
Yes, 2008 was again President Obama. 2007 Vladimir Putin.
Uh-huh.
2006 you.
I was in 2006. Yes, and that. Can I tell you, it was a shock to me. I didn't see that coming. Every once in a while, I'll get a certificate for something I've done, but I didn't expect to be the time.
I was shocked that you weren't sexiest man alive. Well, so I think that this is
a good trade-off.
Back and forth. No, it really was based on the fact that we had so much content put out on the interweb. Mm-hmm. And that, so that's what that was. And then 2005 was another conceptual one, which was the Good Samaritans.
Go. You have the list in front of you, and I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Go back, because I know, like I had mentioned, sometime in the 40s, Adolf Hitler was chosen as Time's Person of the Year, and there was quite an uproar because people said, don't honor this guy. This mm-hmm. is a terrible human being. And then they had to explain, no, we're going by influence. We're not saying he was good for anybody. We're just saying from an influential standpoint, it was him.
Right. The computer was 1982. As I scroll backwards, I will. Endangered Earth was 1988.
Wasn't the Ayatollah Khomeini or somebody like that
1979?
In 79. Mm-hmm. So there have been other people who have been kind of tyrannical. It wasn't just Hitler. There have been a couple of other instances where somebody negative has gotten it.
Absolutely. This is a positive one, in my opinion. 1975 was the American woman or women. Mm-hmm. I guess it was
plural. You get part of that.
I know. I'm waiting on that check to show up. Middle Americans was 1969.
Now, what would have happened? I'm trying to think of exactly what could have taken place in 1969, where with all the news, Time magazine decided it's Middle America we need to salute
as
the person of the year.
The silent majority is who they were going
for,
and that was referred to as the Middle Americans. Apollo 8 astronauts in 68, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling.
The act of scrolling was in 1953 was the person of the year. And no one knew what it meant back then.
No. But they just figured, we'll get there. We'll get there. 1950 was the American fighting man.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm in the 40s now. Eisenhower, of course, makes sense. Stalin was 1942.
Joseph Stalin would be another fairly controversial option.
He got it in 1939 and 1942. And Hitler was 1938.
All right.
Yes.
Let's get a phone call or two in, and then I'll tell you who currently leads for this year's Person of the Year. Again, it's a little bit surprising to me. Dave?
Yeah, my choice would be the outline of a police officer with cap.
Say that again for us. The outline of a police officer?
With cap. I mean, dressed up as a cap.
Oh, I getcha. All right.
Just an outline. No face. Just an outline of our fighting men who are trying to do what's best, only to be knocked down.
All right. Interesting choice. Thank
Uniformed
you, Dave.
Uniformed officer. All right. Thank you so much. That's intriguing, given the amount of news they have been centered in.
Yeah. There's been, as everyone knows, a bulk of negative publicity. So good, bad, or indifferent, they have been at the forefront of the news several
times. They've
been
influencing what we've been talking
Absolutely.
About. Absolutely. For sure.
So who is this year's leader right now in the voting? We've got 11 days left, according to Time magazine, for people to help them, not People magazine, Time magazine, to help them choose who the person of the year is. Now, several of the names that I thought would be on this list, including the one that I threw out there, Donald Trump is well within the running, as is Hillary Clinton, as is Angela Merkel, as is Vladimir Putin. Taylor Swift is up there. I'm sure a lot of people would assume.
Who is the name that I have said off air more than any other name?
Caitlyn Jenner?
No, Adele. Adele is on this list, which I think is just silly.
Adele is an enormously talented human being.
And I can't stop talking about her. She's everywhere this week. However.
But she's probably not.
I don't see why she would be on this list.
The most influential or most important person of the year. Caitlyn Jenner is up among the leaders for obvious reasons, mm-hmm. Just to bring awareness to the transgender issue. But as of today, as of right now, with just 11 days left in the balloting for Time's Person of the Year, your leader right now is Bernie Sanders, which is interesting to me. I'm not sure he's the most influential person of the year, is he?
Well, I don't think so. I agree with you that Donald Trump would be for sure.
Yeah.
I feel that the person who would be most deserving would be Malala, because I think she should be raised up and praised and everybody should know her name.
It's funny. They say she's on the list, but here's the percentage right now. She's got 11% of the vote, mm-hmm. and is leading people like Pope Francis and Barack Obama and Adele, and Jennifer Lawrence is in there too, who's a really good actress, but I'm not sure. Again, she's the most influential person for the world right now this year. Malala, and I didn't know her last name until just now. It's Yousafzai. Is mm-hmm. that how you say her name? Mm-hmm. Nobel Prize winning activist is well among the leaders with 11%. But Bernie Sanders is holding on to that top spot with just 11 days left. So we'll see what happens. Wouldn't you think, should he goes on to win this, that would be, it's not like a huge endorsement, but it's some legitimacy. I don't know that the campaign would use it, but that's got to be a pretty good point if you're scoring to go.
It definitely gives him a nod.
Yeah.
I don't know what it helps or hinders, but yeah. it's a nod in some direction. I'm also intrigued based on the demographic of people who are voting for this,
mm-hmm.
because that I would think would skew a little bit younger, merely because that's who's more active online.
I would think so, too.
Those also seem to be more his demographic of supporters.
Well, that would explain why also among the leaders
are Taylor Swift,
Amy Schumer, Nicki Minaj.
So ridiculous.
If Nicki Minaj takes it over Malala, then you have to maybe reconsider your subscription to Time Magazine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And also the back cover would be a lot bigger than the front cover should Nicki Minaj win it.
Oh, golly.
So let's take a quick break. We'll get some news and a lot more show coming your way. It's Bill Left and Hannah Stanley is in for Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Epp and Hannah Stanley sitting in for Wendy. Wendy Snyder will be back with me on Monday. Yesterday was a very trying, very difficult day for most of Chicago. We're all aware of what happened. The McDonald's shooting, the Van Dyke court case that's still coming up. Dr. Leon Finney joins us right now. Dr. Finney is a pastor of the Metropolitan Apostolic Church, a professional organizer and an expert in terms of protests and rallies. First of all, Dr. Finney, thank you very much for being here.
Oh, thank you very much for inviting me.
We really appreciate it. Yesterday was a very, very hard day.
Yes.
I thought, as just a Chicagoan, I was bracing for the worst, and as serious and awful as the entire story is, things went pretty well when you really step back and look at them, don't you think?
Well, I think this. I think that Chicagoans at this particular point are thoughtful. Let's hope it continues to be such.
Yeah.
I think that it is important for protests to be. And I believe that since I'm a product of the civil rights movement beginning in 1955, and I remember that it took us 10 years to get the 1964 Civil Rights Act signed into law.
Yeah.
It took us 11 years to get the 1965 Voting Rights Act signed in law. Now, what does that mean? And I'm laying a foundation for something else, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is that I happen to have worked on the Metcalf police reform effort in 1973.
Mm-hmm.
I have a copy of the report that's with me. But the important thing is that in 1973, we had this problem of misconduct of police officers. And unfortunately, it has not gone away.
Right.
And there are two reasons for why it has not gone away. One is that the prosecutor, who in this instance would be the state's attorney, who has the fiduciary jurisdictional responsibility, and note I use the word jurisdictional,
mm-hmm.
responsibility to prosecute quickly any problem as relates to a criminal activity, certainly when it rises to a killing, and certainly when it rises to the possibility of a law enforcement officer being involved.
Mm-hmm.
She had the first responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she had the same evidence that she had that she stood on yesterday,
mm-hmm.
13 months ago. So the question is, why did she choose not to prosecute, or why not to go to a grand jury?
Right.
Now let's take another look at it. What happened in Ferguson, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Ferguson, the state's attorney in Missouri, in St. Louis County,
mm-hmm.
had Darren Wilson before the allegations before the grand jury within 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, we are not happy that it did not come out for an indictment, but the point is the power of the state's attorney to bring forth an investigation and to seek a speedy trial is always first and foremost.
Can I tell you, as the story was going on, and I knew the basis of the story, but I was learning more as I was watching the news, and I'm finding out about Officer Van Dyke still on duty, desk duty, not on patrol, but still on desk duty and still getting paid. I was very upset about that. But then I thought, realistically, as much as we knew about it, there had been no court case. He hadn't been prosecuted yet.
That's the challenge, and sometimes we get ill-informed. There are those who want to make this a political move. Mm-hmm. Right? There are those who are saying, well, you know, if the prosecution had gone forth, then maybe it would have compromised somebody's election. Well, guess what? Somebody's election is going to be compromised in a very short order, and that person is going to be the state's attorney, right? Mm-hmm. Because she comes up for election March of 2016, right? So if you want to say political, why does she sit on it? Or she sit on it to help Rahm Emanuel? I don't think so. I think that she sat on it because she was also concerned about her own political future. But anyway, let's then move to the next part of what I think we have to talk about, my friend.
All right.
And that is, what about the police department and what about its actions and what inactions, right? Well, at the end of the day, as long as you don't have an independent civilian police review board that is not accountable to the police department, I think we're going to have a problem. And we pointed out in 1973 that we needed an independent civilian police review board. The current police review process looks like this. Out of 10,000 cases that have been brought before it within the last 10 years, it has found cause to discipline a law enforcement officer for less than 1% of those cases. Mm-hmm. That many complaints couldn't be wrong. So something is not right, and it has to be fixed with the police department. And my sense is there are day-in and day-out complaints that don't rise to murder, mm-hmm. that somehow or another get swept under the rug by a police review board that that is controlled by the police department that does not do its job. And my sense is we have to have a different kind of police report. So here are two things that we got to remember. Mm-hmm. One, if I'm a law enforcement officer and I know that I can commit a murder and not get indicted by the police officer, mm-hmm. what is to prevent me from doing that, right?
Right.
However, and if I know as a police officer that that consistently for 18 times I have not been disciplined for 18 complaints that have been brought by the citizens of the city of Chicago, and this is Van Dyke, 18 times I have never been disciplined by the review board that is in place. What discourages me from taking the law in my own hand if I choose to? And so my sense is you got two things that have got to be fixed, right? Mm-hmm. You got to fix the disciplinary operation that operates within the confines of the police department. Then you got to fix the state's attorney's office. And I'm told by attorney Lewis Myers, who is a professor of criminal justice at Chicago State and an expert in this whole area of litigation as it relates to police misconduct, that in fact the state's attorney's office had the primary responsibility, not the legislature nor the mayor, had the primary responsibility to prosecute and go and take to a court of law Van Dyke.
Pardon me, what did go on last night? Would we call it a demonstration or a rally or a gathering of people who were definitely wanting to be heard? What exactly were they out for? He had been charged. He's been held without bond, the Van Dyke. I just wanted to know what exactly they were hoping to accomplish.
Okay, so here's the deal. The quick answer is I don't know, but okay. Let me speculate.
All right.
And the speculation is that I think that the Constitution of the United States of America provides under the First Amendment the right of peaceful assembly, mm-hmm. to protest whatever we as Americans choose. And that goes for you and me, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to have a reason necessarily that's rational to anybody else, right? Okay. As long as we want to exercise our First Amendment rights, we can do that. My sense is that here you have a situation where there was a the people who were out there probably felt that they ought to do something, especially when since you have so much talk right now about the mistreatment of African-American males by the law enforcement officers, and going back to Trayvon Martin, mm-hmm. then we go to Ferguson with Michael Brown, mm-hmm. and then Eric Gardner in New York, and you can see that there is a sense of a pattern that we have to address, in my judgment. And I think that that's kind of the climate that we're operating in, and therein would be the cause for demonstrations.
Mayor Emanuel called you in recently.
Yes.
To talk about what the end result could be of this case. What was that conversation like?
Well, he didn't call me into a private conversation.
It was a group conversation. You were part of a group.
Yeah.
The point is, the thrust was what exactly? Was it a scenario of what could potentially happen?
I think that the mayor wanted to explain to some people who may be leaders, and I'm not sure that I fall in that category. I'm more of an organizer than a leader. But anyway, I think that he was concerned about what would happen once the videotapes were out. But let me put it this way: I was there and witnessed the West Side go up in flames in 1968.
Yeah.
I remember when the mayor of the city of Chicago issued the order, shoot to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the mayhem that resulted. I remember the war protesters and the conflict that was in Grant Park. So I'm pretty much schooled about what happens in reaction to disasters, mm-hmm. right? The 1964 riots that swept the United States of America from one coast to the other, from Los Angeles on the West Coast all the way to New York and Harlem on the East Coast, from Jacksonville, Florida, down south, mm-hmm. all the way to the Midwest, the city of Chicago, and up into Detroit, right? Not into Canada, all right? Mm-hmm. So that's when we had riots happening all over the United States of America in reaction to the assassination of an icon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So my sense is you want to be careful about how you judge the possibility of a riot. Right. Now, I did not go out and get riot gear. All right. And I'm an old guy, but I spent my time in the United States Marine Corps.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a pretty old tough customer when it comes to being willing to stand up to conflict. But at the end of the day, I didn't, because I really didn't in my heart of hearts feel that at this particular moment we were going to end up with a riot. Now, what I do think is this. There is a great deal of discontent among the populace here in the United States of America, but particularly Chicago, about the killings that happen day in and day out in the neighborhoods that we got to go to.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a huge problem. And my sense is that when we talk about what we're focusing on, we're focusing on a society that has grown to accept killings as a normative action in this particular time. That's a tough pill to swallow.
As disturbing as could possibly be.
It's a tough pill. But, you know, the bottom line is that it has become acceptable behavior. And for some of my brothers that are out there, that tend to get involved in trouble,
mm-hmm.
And some are involved in activities that lead to violence or lead to them doing something illegal. I got to say to them, I would hope that they would have the same concern about the children and the families that live in our various communities about their safety as they are about being able to do what they do on a normal day-to-day basis and not shoot each other.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Finney, you're okay on time. We can keep you for a little bit. Steve Bertrand, our newsman, has a question or two for you as well. But let's take a quick break, and we'll get to those questions. And then if you want to jump in at home, 312-981-7200, you can call in or text in. Our guest is Dr. Leon Finney, pastor of the Metropolitan Apostolic Church, expert on protests and rallies, a professional organizer himself. We'll continue this conversation in just a little bit. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill Leff and Hannah Stanley. Hannah's sitting in for Wendy Snyder, who will return with me on Monday Our guest in studio right now is Dr. Leon Finney. Dr. Finney is a pastor of the Metropolitan Apostolic Church. He's an expert on protests and rallies, a professional organizer himself, and we're discussing what has been going on here in the city the past couple of days and beyond. Steve Bertrand, our newsman, has a question or two for you, Dr. Finney.
Mr. Finney, good afternoon.
Hi, Steve.
So I'm interested in your balance. You know, I mean, you were standing behind Mayor Emanuel yesterday, and here you are today, you know, offering full support for protests. And I understand those aren't mutually exclusive, but just tell me a little bit about where your balance is between those two positions.
Oh, I don't have to worry about balance because I can at the one time respect the mayor of the city of Chicago if he calls for me to stand and help to inspire peace. And the next moment, I can be involved door-to-door and door-to-door campaigns to try to make sure that we get social justice through social activism. So I don't see any contradiction at all. I didn't stand there. Nobody asked me to say anything. But if I had to say something, I'm not sure. I think that I would have come very close to saying what I've said just now.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to imply that you were doing anything wrong. I just sort of interested in where you are between those. One thing that's happened since you started talking to the guys downstairs is Laquan McDonald, the young man who had a felony charge brought against him, Malcolm London, has had that charge dropped. So he was in court today, and he had been charged with attacking a police officer. That was dropped in bond court today. Sure. So last night, your assessment of how the protests went, I would imagine, is a fairly positive one.
Yeah, I said on the air, I mean earlier to a question, I think that this one, in terms of the protests, so far has been within the bounds of our Constitution. Peaceful protest, and that's the First Amendment. Let's hope that pertains. Let's hope that kids, and often kids can do something things that are provocative, to do things. And I was just about to say that I had some kids out in front of my church at the bus stop, and they were trying to when we called the cops to make sure that they were safe, they began to try to tease the cops and be provocative. Now, if you got a hair trigger cop and he gets teased by some kids, not touched but teased, they could get crazy.
Sure.
So you got to remember that kids are going to be kids, 17, 18 years old, they'll be kids. But as long as I think the cooler heads are there, I don't think that there's cause for the kind of riots that we saw in 1968 when Dr. Martin Luther King, an icon, was assassinated. I don't think that this rises to that. I think that, unfortunately, killings have gotten to, in the black community, have gotten to be almost acceptable. And that's a tragedy.
It is
daily killings, and these are not killings by the police department. These are killings by blacks killing blacks.
We have every line filled. People want to talk to you, Dr. Finney. Let's start out with Paula on line four. Paula, hi. You're on with us, and Dr. Leon Finney. Go ahead, please.
Yes, doctor. I wondered if it would be advisable to have more African American police on the force, and therefore that would take the edge off of this race difference.
Paula, that is probably the most profound question I could be asked today. In 1973, when we did the police reform report, that was a strong recommendation that there be more police officers of African-American descent or ethnic groups hired, trained and hired and placed on the police force. Unfortunately, the ranks of our law enforcement officers at this particular point has severely diminished when it comes to the incidence of or the presence of African Americans on the police force. That has to change in order to bring about balance and civility to our community.
Well, why aren't there more? I thought I had heard or read that there are requirements, and some of them are academic requirements and physical, et cetera, that weighs into whether people become a police officer.
Well, I think, and that's another good observation. Thank you. I think that gets back to the credibility of the office, right? If you have a body or a group that is viewed as negative by another group of people, why would you want to be a part of them?
Well, to help your own people.
No, but my point is, why would you want to be?
Why subject yourself?
Right.
What the point is that you have a lot of we have in many, this instance, the sense is that the law enforcement officers that are policing the African American community are not sensitive to the African American community, and you don't see enough African American patrolmen on duty. And so you're talking about asking someone to join, in instances, a white operation that is to over-police the African-American community. So that's one downer.
Well, I guess so. But in my mind, then, how much does the African-American community want to help each other to get rid of the killing of the young people?
Yeah, that's a good observation. I'm glad you say it in your mind. Clearly that it would not be a question that would be in an African-American person's mind. But in your mind, it seems to be irrational. My point on this one is that I encourage, and we are going to be setting up, we are setting up workshops to encourage African Americans to do, in fact, apply to go to the take the test, to coach them as to making sure that they understand the test, and to be there for them once they have passed the test. And what we are finding too often is that even if an African-American does get on the list and become part of the pool, rarely do they get called. And that's something that's got to happen on the inside of the police department.
Paula, thank you for the call. We're out of time, but thank you so much for the call. Great questions, all of them. We have so many people on the line, Dr. Finney, but we sadly don't have enough. Can I just get Tony really quick?
Yeah.
Tony, I only have less than a minute, Tony, but you're bringing up a good point, so I wanted to run it past Dr. Finney. Go ahead, Tony. What did you want to say?
Thank you. I'm African-American male, and my point is that we sort of, in a way, we localize this and we trivialize this by making it a black and white issue. Outrage should be national. It should be national, and it should be national on a high level. This isn't about African-Americans joining together to protect another African-American. This is about the murder of a young man by a federal police officer.
That's the primary issue, isn't it, Dr.
Okay,
Finney?
Tony, I couldn't agree with you more, and everything about me...
Yeah, that's all right.
You're okay.
Everything about me, Tony, would suggest that that's where I am. I marveled at what happened when the when the kids in Washington, D.C., the young people, the millennials, after Ferguson and after the choking in and I Can't Breathe,
yeah.
When you saw on the Capitol steps at least 500 whites and blacks and Latinos in protest saying we can't breathe.
Right.
I welcome the day when blacks and browns and whites can join together and work in order to make our society a civil society. And it's going to take all of our races and all of our ethnic groups. And I'm with you 100%, Tony.
Tony, thanks for the call.
Thank you so much.
Have a great holiday. Dr. Finney, an honor to meet you. This was a rough couple of days for the city and for everybody all over the place. And, you know, we're all trying our best to make some sense of it. So thanks for coming and adding to
us.
We really appreciate it.
All right.
Thank
Dr. Leanne
so
Finney, pastor of the Metropolitan Church, the Apostolic Church. We're going to take a quick break and then more show ahead. Stay where you are. It's WGN. And I'm going to warn you right now, even though I'm part of this segment, I'm afraid of this segment.
I'm afraid of this music.
Well, the music only adds to it. It's going to get even weirder. Trust me. The strangest motel in America is a clown motel, and it's out in Nevada. I did say clown motel, didn't I? It's hard to put those words together and keep a straight face. But
not going to be able to talk very often.
Just prepare yourself. Okay. It's going to be awkward. It's the strangest motel in America, the Clown Motel. Nobody knows more about it than Chris Sebula. How do you say your last name, Chris?
Sebella.
I'm sorry. Chris, you spent a month at the Clown Motel. Is that possible?
It is. I did it.
All right.
I lived.
Do me a favor. Do this in order for me, because up until a couple of days ago when we saw your story, I didn't even know there was a Clown Motel. What is it exactly? Tell us a little bit about this clown motel.
It's a clown-themed motel in a town called Tonopah, Nevada, which is it's directly in the center of Nevada. It's like 200 miles in either direction to any sort of city that has, you know, like more than one grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just there's clowns on all the doors. There's clown portraits in every room, and the front office has about, you know, 500 plus clowns on display.
Okay, not on duty though. Is it staffed by clowns?
No, there. I did see clowns while I was there, but they didn't work for the motel.
They were just passing through town.
Yeah, there was a weekend where about six clowns showed up just to hang out.
All in one car.
Right.
It was an Escalade, yeah.
It always is, Chris. Chris, are they going for creepy, the people who own the Clown Motel? Are they purposely trying to make it creepy? They must be, right?
No.
No?
They bought the Clown Motel from the previous owners, and they just left it, as is. I think they realized, we kind of have a lock here. There's probably no other clown-themed motels anywhere.
Well, Circus,
and,
in Las Vegas, Circus.
Yeah,
that's a circus theme.
That's true.
Yeah. All right.
I think it's just a good marketing gimmick. So
you decided. You're an author. You're a comic book writer. Among your specialties, Captain Marvel, the DC Captain Marvel, or the Marvel Captain Marvel.
The Marvel
Captain Marvel. So you're a successful writer, and you're a comic book writer, and you find out about this Clown Motel, and you say to yourself, what?
I said I want to go there.
Yeah.
And I
went
did,
to go to
and
there.
Then, yeah, and then I did this. Well, I went for the first time just for a weekend with a friend of mine, and then after that, I got this weird idea of I kind of like to go back and spend a month there just to see what happens.
Well, without disclosing what's going to be in the book, what did happen?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. The clowns showed up. We held a seance in one of the rooms. There was flooding. There was radiation scares. There was an angry drunk cowboy. There was an RV that was full of blood. There's also the Clown Motel is right next to a turn of the century graveyard.
Yeah.
So, there's that, that is a scene unto itself. I don't know. I'm still kind of processing everything that happened.
Sure, of course.
It varied from soul crushing boredom and despair to, outright horror. So,
all right, Chris, are you yourself freaked out at all by clowns, or this was just no big whoop for you?
Yeah, I'm not scared of clowns. After my trip, I think the hate is a strong word, but
sure.
I'm very annoyed by clowns.
Good.
Go away, clown.
So.
So with that in mind, a month of that would seem like a long time to be around something that you're annoyed by, but you did it.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't annoyed by clowns until the actual clowns showed up. And then I remembered, this is why people hate clowns. That was a very small percentage of it, though. And it got to the point, where I didn't even notice the two velvet clown paintings in my room anymore. They were just part of the scenery.
I don't know if you watch, there's a show, American Horror Story, and last season it was about a circus sideshow, and this season it's about a creepy haunted hotel. It's kind of a combination of what you lived through the last two seasons of that show.
Yeah, it felt a lot like that. It also felt like, I don't know if you've seen the show Review with Forrest McNeil,
no.
Where he reviews life experiences for other people, and I kind of felt like that's what I was doing, was I was taking a bullet for everybody who was curious about the Clown Motel but had no interest in actually going and staying there.
Apparently, it is also featured on Ghost Adventures.
Oh, it is.
Which is on demand.
It was.
And apparently, it's haunted. Did you have, aside from the actual things that were happening in front of you that were a little different, were you experiencing anything from the other world? Otherworldly?
No, not really. No, I'm really open to it. I was really hoping for ghosts or something spooky, but I'd go out and stand in the graveyard, at midnight, and you know, it's just a graveyard. Like, there were no ghosts. There were a lot of cats, though. So my theory is that the cats kind of kept all the terrifying stuff away.
And when they say that the hotel is apparently haunted or supposedly a haunt, is it haunted by your regular variety of ghosts or more circus themed clowny ghosts? What kind of ghosts are we talking about?
I think they mean like minor ghosts, because Tonopah was a big mining town. So the majority of people who are buried in the cemetery next door died in mining accidents. Yeah. So that's like, if you're going to guess that there are ghosts there, I would say that they were probably the ghosts of miners.
All right, but we can't. Maybe they were clown miners.
Sure,
they
could be. They could. It's possible.
Clarabelle was a major clown.
Yeah.
I don't know a minor clown.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Bozo, major clown.
Chris, do you consider your month there to be time well spent? I know you're working on this book about your experience there, but now that it's all said and done, are you happy you spent 30 days there at the Clown Motel?
I am. Sometimes I feel like it's something that didn't really happen to me. Like, it's a really long dream that I had.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just got back like about 3 weeks ago, and I think I'm finally kind of recovered from the experience. So I think I'm happy that I did it, but you know, only time will tell.
Right.
Like, how psychologically warped I become from this.
Perfect. Chris, you have a website you want to give out if people want to find out more about you or what else you've written?
Sure. It's ChristopherSebela.com. That's S-E-B-E-L-A.
Well, Chris, good luck to you. This is something that I'm glad I never did or will ever do. But
I'm glad he did it.
I'm glad you did it for me. You saved me a lot of heartache.
Yeah, I'm happy to do it for you.
That's Chris Sebela again. His website is ChristopherSebela.com. We appreciate it, Chris. Have a great holiday.
Yeah, you too.
All right, take care. We'll take a quick break and then more show ahead. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Hannah Stanley. Yes, this is the show that went from 1 minute talking about the riots here in Chicago, the rally, the protests here in Chicago.
Racial injustice.
Yes, and then just moments later discussed the Clown Motel in Nevada. Now it gets even stranger, if that's at all possible.
I think it is.
In a little while, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving hosting mistakes that you've probably made at some point in your life, but you don't have to make anymore. The people at Huffington Post have cleared things up and made life easier.
Thank goodness.
They'll tell you, thank goodness is right. They'll tell you the mistakes that you have made or could possibly make and how you can best fix them. But while we're on the subject of Thanksgiving, there's a dessert that I wasn't aware of with a name that I wasn't aware of. But evidently, it is revolutionizing Thanksgiving as we know it.
I don't know anything about this.
Have you ever heard of a dessert called piekaken?
Oh wait, yeah, I have.
Do you know what piekaken is?
I do know what piekaken. It's the sugary version of turducken.
That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. Now, years ago, and I think it was John Madden who popularized this.
Absolutely,
even though this was happening in little pockets around the country. John Madden started talking about this on Thanksgiving every year. His propensity for food, his favorite food, was this food called turducken, which is a turkey inside of a duck inside of a chicken.
No.
It's the opposite?
Yes.
It's the opposite.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I guess you'd have to go smallest to biggest. Harder to do it the other way.
What the misconception is, though, with turducken is that it's actually the full body inside.
And it's not.
It's not. You
right.
actually bone this and
yeah.
then put it into, debone.
Right.
Yeah.
And put There's it times I would have snickered at that, but I look at look at how I've grown up right before your eyes.
That's
so
all right.
I've never had
you.
This,
yeah.
but is it all that it's cracked up to be? Is it worth the effort?
Turducken?
Yeah.
No.
It's not,
I don't
it?
Think so.
It's not.
No. But I'm not... I love chicken.
Yeah.
I think duck is fine. I'm
right.
not a turkey fan. So for me, it just seems silly.
Just by taking foods that you enjoy and piling them up and stapling them together with a staple gun doesn't mean they're good, does it?
Well, I don't know, but I got to tell you, this piekaken, I am on board
Are
with.
You thinking that that's a good idea?
Yes.
It is exactly as Hannah described. It's pie inside of cake and no calories. I don't know how they do it. There's no calories involved in this at all. It says piekaken variations are endless. you need to think cheesecake plus pumpkin pie or raspberry pie and dark chocolate cake. That sounds pretty good, actually.
Absolutely. There's a text coming in from 815 that says peach pie in a spice cake with cream cheese icing. Yes. Yes, 815.
I have to be honest.
You are my kind of person.
That actually sounds pretty good.
How could it not?
You know, my favorite, of course, is the key lime pie. That's a thing of beauty.
Right.
And if you put that in some sort of a lemon chiffon cake, I would think that that would have a nice citrusy flavor to it, wouldn't it?
It would be more than citrusy. It might be too much, but I think a key lime in maybe an angel food, that would be good.
That could work.
Yeah. Right?
All right. So it's up to you. All you need to do is choose the pie and the cake and then the dietary expert later to tell you what you've done horribly wrong. Longtime foodies. Is that still a word?
I thought that
word went away.
It makes me do a reverse fetal, but foodies is still a word.
And that's just somebody who enjoys food, or you could also describe them as everyone on the planet.
The foodie kind of views themselves as a food elitist.
Oh. They know more than the rest of us do?
Well, or they feel that they're advanced in their culinary choices.
Please. Longtime foodies, it says here, will recall that early versions of Pycakens have been around since 2007. Was that the year of the discovery of the Pycaken?
I think Pycaken was person of the year for Time that year.
I keep getting Pycaken and Kraken from Clash of the Titans mixed up. Release the Pycaken.
It was pastry of the year. Time Magazine's pastry of
the
year.
Was it really? Where was I that year? But this, they say, 2015 is the year that it really has taken off. How do I not know? How can something be that big and I had no idea it existed until 10 minutes ago?
Because you're not a foodie.
So I guess not. But I wear footie pajamas, so that should count as something.
No.
So take your pick of all the favorites and then put them together and enjoy them this holiday season, it says. It's the pie cake and ask for it by name. We'll take a quick break. We've got the news and then more Thanksgiving talk for just a little bit. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Hey, Steve. Steve Bertrand, are you still here, Steve?
I am here.
Steve, still. I was putting croutons into alphabetical order, so I was only hearing half of what you said. Did you say that the Marx Brothers have joined the Cubs?
Yes, I did.
That's
Harpo
fantastic.
Marx.
Yeah?
No, I didn't say
Harpo.
How are
we going to get a hat that fits over his hair?
It's hard. It's very tough, too.
Maybe
I said the Rex Brothers.
Oh, the Rex Brothers have joined the Cubs.
Rex,
I thought you said the Marx Brothers had joined the Cubs.
Rex Ryan?
And that's effective immediately? Will they be pitching for the Cubs tomorrow afternoon?
No, I think they have to get here from Colorado, and there's snow there. So
give them a day or two. They'll be with the Cubs.
It's an afternoon game tomorrow, right?
Are they driving? Yep. Are they carpooling together, the Rex Brothers?
Thursday's usually a getaway day.
It is.
They are carpooling.
So, yeah.
Well, that's exciting
good
news.
For them, because you know what? People in Colorado, they love the earth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So true. Here's what they've done over at Huffington Post. You know, Thanksgiving is tomorrow. Did you know that? Thanksgiving's tomorrow.
Is that why you're off?
Thursday this year.
I thought you just took it off randomly.
Taking it off for the holiday.
Mm.
And Lexi Tollefson, who is the lifestyle editor, has said, and this is true, that many of us on Thanksgiving, we make the holiday more difficult than it needs to be. If you're hosting people coming over, there's so much stress of people coming over and cooking, and it's difficult. You know this.
What does Lexi know?
Well, she's the lifestyle editor at the Huffington Post. She knows her stuff. So here's what Lexi Tollefson says.
Okay.
She said, first of all, congratulations to the Cubs for getting the Marx Brothers. And then she said, there are things that you can do to make Thanksgiving easier. It doesn't have to be stressful. Just because you're hosting or hostessing doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Enjoy this. And she gives a whole bunch of things that we've all experienced that can be made easier.
All right.
Can I share them with you? What do you think?
You may.
All right, we'll do it now.
Yes, you can.
She says, number one, this is a huge mistake, and many of us make this. You shouldn't refuse help, right? Do you agree with this?
Well, it depends. It depends on who's offering help. Like if it's somebody who makes a really
loved ones,
go back. Go back in your brain to Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
When Aunt what's her name brought the Jell-O mold,
right.
But it was actually the cat.
Right.
Right. See, yeah, no, you can. You need to refuse help from some, and then you can't always refuse it from other people because she'll be like, well, I offered to bring a Jell-O mold and she said no, so why does she want your trifle?
Okay, well, good point. Here's what Lexi Tollefson says.
Lexi.
She says, we often let our ego get in the way of reality, and on a chaotic day like Thanksgiving, and it is, it is very chaotic.
Not for you. You go out.
The reality, I used to experience the chaos, not anymore. The reality is that you probably need more help making sure that everything goes smoothly. Think about it. You do. Swallow your pride and accept that offer to help cook, clean, or set the table. Why would somebody be averse to that? That's a, if somebody says, hey, I see you got a million things going on, let me help you, why wouldn't you let them help
because
you?
Because I feel like you feel like you're being inhospitable to ask people to help
really?
You clear the table.
But you don't necessarily have to ask, but if somebody offers...
If somebody offers and I go, no, go sit.
Really?
Enjoy yourself.
Oh,
I do, and that really has nothing to do with the fact that I do or don't like that person.
Right.
I really just feel like...
They're the guest.
They're the guest.
I get it. All right. All right, so I'm putting minus one for Lexi Tolleson.
Well, but here's the thing. But if I offer to help clear,
yeah,
I'm not doing it just lip service. I'm like, let
you
me help.
You
want to
help.
Yeah.
Right, absolutely.
I don't know. Maybe you just need to insist more if you're the guest. Like, about, no, I'm helping.
How about this? Have you done this? Maybe you shouldn't do this if you are doing this. It has to do with giving your guests free rein with the alcohol. Maybe you got to call some limits on the alcohol. Thanksgiving, it says, usually is a very long day, so make sure that you vary the beverage offerings so that no one gets too tipsy too early. That's true. I've been in situations where as soon as somebody arrives, they fix themselves a drink or two, and you know it's a long, long day. You got to pace yourself, you know?
Interesting. Dan Neal and I, my co-host on Flavor HD, you heard him here earlier during the 11 to 11:30 time slot. He and I interviewed Ming Tsai regarding his Thanksgiving traditions.
Yeah.
We did this with a lot of famous chefs. It was great.
Yeah.
Ming's suggestion was to have a signature cocktail and greet your guests at the door with it.
Oh, that seems
and I
like
was
a
like,
lot.
When are you having people over?
Right.
You don't that seems like they're just hammered.
You want to bomb them out in the first 10
Maybe
minutes.
Maybe you do. I don't know. Then they're sleeping it off. I don't know.
Hannah. Here's what our friend Lexi Tolleson says. And again, let me remind you, she's the lifestyle editor of the Huffington Post. So
who am I to judge?
She didn't just fall off a turnip truck if they still have turnip trucks.
I think they do.
Here's what she says. Start the gathering off with a non-alcoholic beverage, like, say, a hot cider or an iced tea or a lemonade. Or if you want to start off with a libation, create a big batch cocktail that's only slightly boozy. So maybe you're doing a punch. Maybe just put a little bit of rum in the punch, not a couple of bottles of rum. Just go easy at first.
Mm-hmm.
As the night goes on, then you break out the wine and the harder stuff for those who want to partake. Again, it's all in the pacing, isn't it?
Oh, well, I think that's solid.
All right. I'll give you each a point
I'm
on
good,
that one.
I'm good with that one.
All right. You're still winning.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate downtime.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It says here, before the food hits the table, between courses, or after a meal is ended, it's always smart to keep people busy. This doesn't have to be super organized. Perhaps suggest that they take a walk. I've said that to my relatives. Hey, you guys, take a walk.
Take a hike.
Take a hike. And then I move while they're out hiking. Hey, Bill used to live here. I don't anymore.
Oh,
play
gone.
A board game with them or watch a holiday movie.
That's a lot of downtime.
Anything is better than having your guests just wandering around the house, getting in your way while you're trying to make things happen. Well, but now football has alleviated the downtime because it seems like
For
those who enjoy, right. It's a little harder if you're not
Here's
a fan.
The other thing, and this went back to my conversation with my kids the other day about how we used to have just one television.
Yes.
Multiple televisions has made this a little bit more complicated / easier because it used to be football was on and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was gospel.
Right.
And then now we have televisions in other rooms that aren't bedrooms.
Sure.
So people can go, oh, I'm going to go into watch television 3.6. And
yes.
then they walk into whatever man cave room happens to be there. So that's where I agree with her. You do need to have Elf on loop.
Some holiday favorite always running.
Always
Heidi,
running.
Heidi, always good to watch Heidi.
Grandfather.
Right.
But it does make good sense to have, you know, the Parcheesi, the Scrabble.
Yeah, board game
board
ready.
Yep. Yeah, I like that.
No
Uno.
Downtime.
Uno's easy.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
yes.
$5. Pick it up at the checkout.
Right. Slugbug.
Where finer card games are sold.
Maybe a Volkswagen's driving past your house. You can punch your aunt.
That would be the worst game ever if you lived in a cul-de-sac.
Right.
Like, I still don't see any.
Right. Here's another key. Again, according to Lexi Olofsson, who's now, her name has now been said on the radio more times than ever in history.
Yeah.
You got to be inflexible. No matter how well you plan, there are bound to be some last-minute changes that pop up unexpectedly. Maybe a relative is sick or a friend is bringing a new date. And that, by the way, is always a great time to bring in a new boyfriend or girlfriend is on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, really. That's
Couldn't
the time to introduce them to your family at their best. So actually, she's saying being inflexible is a mistake.
Is a mistake.
Yeah, so you got to just roll with it.
Right.
So maybe the cocktails earlier.
Right. Right, right,
That's
right,
all
right.
I'm saying.
Would you ever bring? I mean, now you're married, so it's a non-factor. But would you ever
bring a new boyfriend around? Depends on what the message I was trying to send.
Right. Uh oh. Anna's seeing a podiatrist all of a sudden. Uh-oh. But wouldn't that be an awkward time to introduce somebody into the family? Would be on Thanksgiving, a day that is so pressure-filled anyway. I would never have considered that.
I would think that it would be harder than a normal, hey, but it really does just get it out of the way.
Right.
They've met everybody.
Right.
This is my crazy. Welcome.
Did you have to go through a thing? Because I think most of us, when there's a family that you've been around for your whole life, like from the time you're a baby till now, you're kind of used to all the foibles of the family, all the idiosyncrasies, like not being able to say the word idiosyncrasies.
That's an
you
issue.
Have a bunch of things that they're your family, so you're used to it. So you almost have to prep your girlfriend or boyfriend into, he's got this going on, she's got this going on. Aunt Arlene always wears a fire chief helmet. Don't say anything about it. Just smile when she sees you.
Please try to sit away from this relative because she always like dumps the entire bottle of cologne on her.
Right.
Yeah, no, there's always going to be something where you're wanting to prep the other person.
Yep.
Like, don't talk about politics.
Yeah, whatever you do.
Don't
actually
engage.
That should be a law for everybody on Thanksgiving and any holiday. No mention of politics or religion because it doesn't go well.
Yeah,
it just does not go well.
Somebody's getting annoyed.
Yes.
Stuffing's going to get, like, there's going to be a spoon that drops right. on the antique china
right.
and it's getting broken, and then we have tears.
That's why we used to have to keep our carving knife under lock and key in another room so that nobody would stab each other during the holiday.
Nice.
That's the worst thing for a holiday is somebody stabbing another person. What about this one? Confusing your aspirational Thanksgiving Pinterest board with real life.
Now,
I don't know what that means.
Pinterest is great. And once I understood it, it is an online website, Pinterest.com. It's also an app.
Yeah.
And what it is people posting pictures. Think of it this way. It is a virtual bulletin board.
All right.
So, you know, when you used to rip things out of newspapers or out of magazines and be like, that's awesome.
Oh,
and you'd post it up in your bulletin board. That's Pinterest. But it's online.
All right.
So you see things that you like look at this tablescape, which is a word. Tablescape is, you know, how you design
the way it's
your table.
Laid out.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is the first year I ever remember seeing people post their practice tablescapes prior to Thanksgiving.
So people have taken pictures of what their table will look like tomorrow.
Yeah.
But it's like a dress rehearsal.
It's exactly
what it
is. Or it's already set because they worked on it for hours, moving glasses, putting gourds in different places. And so what they're doing is they're trying to emulate whatever they want it to look like based on pictures they've seen online.
And then once the picture's on there, are you free to criticize it or say, oh, that looks fantastic, or I would put the noodles on the
other side. I've never criticized anything. I don't know if you can really comment. I can pin other people's pins because there's people I follow. Like Martha Stewart has a Pinterest page and she can post her own ideas and this is how I would do it if I was me, and I am, so this is me. But, you know, and I actually, for WGN Girls Night, I have one. There are anything that you can think of, like ways to paint your nails or baby shower. We just did a baby shower at my house, and I had all kinds of different ideas for the baby shower that I had found online and posted to Pinterest.
Oh, all right, all right.
Yeah.
So when they say this, when they say, because I don't even understand what this means, confusing your aspirational Thanksgiving Pinterest board with real life, what are they trying to say then?
You're freaking out that it doesn't look as good as what you want it to look like on Pinterest.
All right. Yeah. All right. That makes some sense. Let's talk to Dave for just a little bit. Dave, we were saying a little while ago that maybe bringing in a new person, a boyfriend or a girlfriend to Thanksgiving, that might not be the best idea, but you disagree, huh?
Well, I chuckled listening to that because that is definitely how I met my wife's extended family 12 years ago.
On Thanksgiving?
The first time was on Thanksgiving, yeah.
Baptism
by
fire.
So my parents moved to Florida a number of years ago, so they're not in the area anymore. And the holiday tradition with my wife's family, and if any of them listening, they'll know it's them.
Yeah.
But they go bowling on Thanksgiving Day while the turkey's cooking. So that's kind of how you keep people out of the house. We do bring appetizers to the bowling alley.
We bowl.
We go bowling.
Yeah.
And then we go over to our aunt and uncle's house afterwards. And I'm told that I won over her family because the first thing I did when I walked in is I went to the bar, grabbed two pitchers of beer, and brought them over. And they've loved me ever since.
How about that? Good.
Yeah. Bowling on Thanksgiving is solid. Solid.
I didn't know that existed.
It does.
Is it just a Chicago thing or does that go on around the country?
My husband started it when they were like in junior high school, and it was for the friends to get out of the house. And so they'd make plans and they would all go after everybody had their dinners with their families, and the parents would drop the kids off at the bowling alley at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night.
Wow. Dave, and it's worked out, huh?
Yeah, and this one, and it's funny because, you know, way back when, I thought it was odd. I'd never heard of it before. And we do it in the morning, so we do it before dinner.
Wow.
And, yeah, and at the time, it, you know, we used to be the only place, the only people in the place, and now it's packed.
Really?
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, we get in there. And
it's harder to get a lane.
Reserve our lanes, yep, and all that. So it's a lot of fun, though. It's a blast.
It sounds like fun. All right, excellent. Well, have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, you too. Thanks.
Aim for the corners. Okay, take care. Bye. I don't know. Is that what you say in bowling? I don't know what you say.
No.
Aim for the corners? That's terrible advice.
Well, it depends. If you're going for, like, you know, a 7-10 split, then you go for the corners.
Yeah, then you should aim for the corners.
Right.
All right. More of this sort of behavior in just a little bit. 312-981-7200. These are things that will make your Thanksgiving just a little bit easier, mistakes that you don't have to be making. Give us a call or a text. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley. Hannah is filling in for Wendy. Wendy Snyder will be back on Monday with me, but in the meantime, you and Dane Neal will hold court.
I'm taking over.
From 10 to noon tomorrow?
Yes.
And on Friday as well.
And on Friday.
And then the beautiful and talented Rob Hart from noon to 3 also tomorrow and Friday.
I've heard good things.
He's a good man. Okay, a lot of people calling and texting in. We're talking about things, mistakes that people make if you're hosting the Thanksgiving holiday that you don't have to make. Over at Huffington Post, Lexi Tollefson, whose name has been said many, many times
in the past 20 minutes. I hope we're pronouncing it correctly. 630, texted into 312-981-7200. You guys are so wrong. My uncle is very Republican and my aunt is very liberal. I hope they're not married to each other. And I will go out of my way to bring subjects up at the table to get them started on politics and then just sit back.
You know what? That's genius, because that could work to your advantage if you like.
Here's the only thing. Here's
displays.
The one word. One word. Trump.
Just say Trump.
You're welcome, 630.
Right.
It's all you
so
need.
So when
you're tomorrow.
Praying around the Thanksgiving table, you give thanks to Trump and see what happens.
Yes.
Just see who's on your side and who's not on your side. A little while ago, we were saying, boy, the last thing you'd want to do on Thanksgiving is bring in somebody, a date, like who's never met your family, a new boyfriend or girlfriend. That couldn't go well, could it? Another caller named Dave, and thanks to all the Daves who have called today. We've only talked to people named Dave today.
I know, and we're waiting on Dave Barry, so
yeah,
hopefully,
later
fingers
on.
Crossed.
Dave, what do you know about this topic?
Years ago, when my brother, his future wife or my sister-in-law, brought him to Thanksgiving, and then the rest of my family was invited. She was the youngest of 11 kids in an Italian family, and they had three sessions of Thanksgiving, 11, 1, and 3. So you got a postcard telling you what time to show up.
Awesome.
Well, we got the 11 o'clock one, and they came in, introduced us all, and then you're trying to remember who belongs to who. And they had a rule where, you know, if you were the first one to get up, go to the bathroom, or whoever stood up first had to help with dishes.
Wow.
So we wound up staying all three sessions and helping with dishes. And it was like, you know, they had name tags. Actually, I'm with him, and this is his three daughters, the name under the name tag. So you hopefully tried to remember who belonged to who. It was
really?
There's a whiteboard out at the front with a chart.
It was a big frame house in Oak Park. And everybody come in the front door, and when they were done, they went out the back door, and then whatever session sat there and chatted with each other in the driveway, and then next session come in with a turkey and sides, and it was...
That's phenomenal.
It was an interesting Thanksgiving.
I didn't
know
it
was a heck of a way to meet the family.
So how many would you say, Dave, in total for the three sessions, the three separate seatings for Thanksgiving, all told, how many people roughly would have been invited on Thanksgiving?
Oh, it had to be anywhere between 30 and 40 people.
Wow.
I mean, and that was then. I mean, now I can't even imagine how many, you know, children, grandchildren, great-children, right? It's kind of spread off into different satellite Thanksgivings now. It's
I would imagine.
One house, yeah.
How about that? Well,
but
Dave, we appreciate the call. I hope you have a good day tomorrow. And
you too.
Great rest of your life, too, not just tomorrow. Okay, thanks. I don't know if I'll get a chance to talk to Dave again.
We might not.
That might be my last. That's sad. That might be the last time Dave and us ever speak. Let's talk to Drew, who is not named Dave, but it's four letters and it starts with a D, so we will allow
I'm down with that.
Drew, how are you?
I'm fine. And yes, I actually did not. My husband and I met either at the gym because they're both PE teachers. In August, in November, I went to Thanksgiving and met his family and literally was prepped, like you said, driving across from one town to another
so that
I knew what his family was like.
What did they tell you, Drew? Like, what were you instructed? Was there somebody to watch out for or just little
No, it was more describing. He has two older sisters by quite a bit. One's 10 years older and one's 8 years older. And one was like the typical suburban housewife and the other one was a little more funky.
Yeah.
And everybody liked one, and a lot of people didn't get along with the other one, and I got along with the other one. I got along with the second one better. Yeah, it was really kind of cool, actually, because, that, you know, I was just one of those, yeah, I actually did that. But it was a really different situation because when you're never having seen them and never having met them.
Right.
But then again, my husband probably thought the same thing when he met my family. And I think that was like at Christmas time. So
yeah.
You know, it's all one of those, okay, you're going to meet these people and this is what this person's like. And this is what my brother and I are totally different. So I think that happens with any family.
Of course.
Individual.
Yep. So true.
Once, but Thanksgiving is a bad time to do it. If you've only been dating for 3 months.
It's dangerous. True. Yeah. Thanks for the call. I hope you have a great day tomorrow. Take care.
I will. Trust.
All right. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. Is there a text or two you wanted to jump in with?
No, we're good.
Okay?
I'm good.
All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Roe and Anna have coming up next. Stick around. It's Bill F. and Hannah Stanley sitting in for Wendy Snyder on WGN.